Good morning to your newest Chicago Bull, Coby White. He scored more points as a freshman than Michael Jordan did at North Carolina.
I assume you're happy about this?
They needed a point guard. I like him. I like him a lot. His father passed away, Steve. He's playing for his dad. His hashtag on Twitter, FMF for my father.
When did his dad die? Recently?
His dad died a couple years ago. I interviewed him before the draft. Great kid. He fits a need. A little bit of a score first point guard. The Bulls got a lot of guys who want to shoot the basketball, but I do like the pick a lot.
I sense he would have picked somebody else.
I try to hit home runs in life, Steve. Mm-hmm. Sekou Doumbouya, who went 15 overall.
Yeah. And again, if you have the Sekou Doumbouya, get to a doctor immediately. It's nothing to mess around
right.
with.
But this fits a need, and we'll hear from John Paxson coming up a little bit later in the show. It seems like the Bulls are going to be very active in free agency. And don't get the Sekou Doumbouya. John DeCosta, welcome to the show. Good morning over there, buddy.
John's laughing because he's had Sekou Doumbouya, and he knows how painful it is.
Look, Sekou Doumbouya, 18 years old, can shoot it, can drive it, got some bounce to his step in. Yeah, you don't want to get the Sekou Doumbouya.
No, you
don't. You're absolutely right. Right. All right. Let's.
Symptoms are vicious.
Bulls also drafted in the second round. Daniel Gafford, number 38, 6'11", big man out of Arkansas. Cubs a winner over the Mets, 7-4. Your other favorite guy, Steve, Edbert Alzolay. Big night for the rookie.
In a band named Edbert Alzolay.
Yeah, you dominated.
It's one of
the
worst band names ever, by the way.
Alzolay retired 12 of 13 batters he faced last night. Steve,
was it Abner?
Edbert. Yeah,
because I wanted to name him Egbert.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right. You know, he's the first Cub pitcher to win, get a win in his first in his big league debut.
Engelbert Humperdinck pick up the save?
No, Ryan O'Malley. No. They went to Steve Cishek in the ninth last night.
Do you know who Engelbert Humperdinck is?
Not exactly, no.
Engelbert Humperdinck was a singer in the 70s, Jeff?
Yeah, along with Tom Jones' contemporary.
Yeah.
Engelbert Humperdinck?
His name is Engelbert Humperdinck.
That's a real person?
Oddly enough,
oh, yeah.
Not his real name.
The women went nuts over him.
Yeah.
Mary.
Not me.
Mary said she went nuts over him.
No, the women, not
women
me.
Loved him. My mother had a crush on him.
Really?
My mother's name was Sonia. She wanted to be Sonia Humperdinck. I said, Mom, grow up.
Is there Google images of Humperdinck that I could check out?
Oh, yeah. He was a handsome man. Right. What was his big song? Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head?
Shibuya Buke.
No, that's not true. Mary, what was his big song? Was it
I'm
Raindrops?
No, he didn't sing Raindrops. Did he sing?
No, that was
B.J. Green Grass of Home?
B.J. Thomas, yeah.
Green Grass of Home?
Or was that Tom Jones?
I'm trying to remember.
Please release me.
Was that it?
Yeah, please.
How do you spell Engelbert?
Engelbert's just like it sounds, with a P.
Common spelling?
Mm-hmm.
Right, we'll get back to Humperdinck in a moment here.
What?
Round was he drafted?
Humperdinck was in the seventh round draft pick, Humperdinck. Mark Harmon, WGN Sports.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Happy Friday, a beautiful morning in the most beautiful city. I hope you're in Chicago. If you're not, I hope you're happy where you are. But, you know, come on in. We have room. Don't stay. We don't have room for you to stay. But visit and leave money. If you come to Chicago in the summertime, just know that a lot of people come to Chicago in the summertime. So, you've been warned. And we will get to a point this summer where it'll be more than one nice day in a row. And I stand at all the borders, and I tell people whether or not they can come in. Because somebody's got to control it. Engelbert Humperdinck, other hit, big hit, and Mary, you probably remember this one, After the Lovin'.
Oh, yeah.
So I sing you this tune, After the Lovin'. I order a pizza because I'm hungry now.
So I think you should take your mom. He's coming to the Arcata Theater in St. Charles
in
October.
He's 83?
Yeah, you could take her.
And we gave away tickets yesterday at Gordon Lightfoot, who's 80.
Yeah.
The Rolling Stones are like 75. You know who sucks are these kids in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah, they can't sell tickets at all.
But just keep in mind, Engelbert is coming for the Jell-O.
Is that right?
He's just coming to the Arcata.
I had no
There's
idea.
Only two tickets left.
Humperdinck is coming to St. Charles, and there's only two tickets left?
Yeah, for both shows. He's got two shows.
He's very popular.
He is. He
holds
the ladies.
That holds about 900 people. That's a good size.
Yeah. That's good for him.
I feel out of the loop. Humperdinck. Who knew? Apparently a lot of people.
And unless this is a rug, he still looks like he has most of his hair. So I'm bitter.
Yeah. And it's a nice color as well.
Yeah, you see.
Mary. Relentless on Humperdinck.
All the ladies love the Humperdinck.
What do you think his real name is?
Bob Smith.
I wonder if they have that. I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, we had a caller just call in. It's Tom Jones.
That's his real name?
Yeah, he switched it because Tom Jones was already taken.
Oh, that's a good story. I didn't know that. Let's do the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, was it a fake out? Was it I changed my mind? You know the old saying, a Trump's prerogative is to change his mind. President Trump approved military strikes against Iran in retaliation for downing an American surveillance drone. That surveillance drone is a $120 million piece of equipment that Iran shot down. They claim it was in their airspace. Our guys say it wasn't. As late as 7 o'clock last night, military and diplomatic officials were expecting a strike after intense discussions and debate at the White House among the president's top national security officials and congressional leaders. It's generally agreed that John Bolton, he of the mustache, is pushing this hard from his position. And there are others, including Gina Haspel, former CIA director. Or was she CIA? Or is she CIA now?
She's currently CIA.
She's CIA now. That she was also, asked about it. Anyway, there are two or three people that were all in. It's not clear whether Trump changed his mind on the strikes or whether the administration altered course because of logistics of strategy. There's also the possibility that Iran responded. There's word that a diplomatic note, was sent through Oman to Iran. The Ayatollah doesn't want to meet with Trump, that maybe the Iran said, okay, call it off. We'll figure something out. But the other possibility is Trump just went, nah, we don't know.
There are a couple of late developments on this just now, Steve. Iran says that it has indisputable evidence that the drone was violating its airspace and that it gave the U.S. Military two repeated warnings, it said, to get the drone out of its airspace. I guess it sent a warning to the destroyer that was apparently guiding the drone. But that's the development from Iran this morning.
Hmm. Yeah, there was another story that I saw, Steve. I don't know if you saw this as well, but the coordinates were given out by our military where the drone was, and some reporters mapped the coordinates and said it was 9 miles off the coast of Iran, and therefore they thought it was in Iran airspace as well.
Yeah, so I don't know. And that would be Iran airspace, by the way. The country of Iran released a map showing that very same thing.
Hmm. Well, the good news is no shooting. And we're not at war as you wake up this morning. That's good news.
So. It's just so uncomfortable that Donald Trump is sitting there making these decisions. I mean, come on.
Well, but is he? That's the thing. I'm not sure he is.
Well, whatever role he has.
Yeah.
And I saw some reporting last night that maybe it was the Joint Chiefs that stood up at the last minute and said, Mr. President, wait a second.
We're not doing this.
You really want to do this.
Yeah. Next. Whatever you do, do not get on Poncho's bad side, because the Lone Star Longhorn that set the Guinness World Record for having the longest horn spread on a steer is ready to rock. The record-breaking horns have a 10-foot-7-inch span. That's you think I got a big head? The Guinness confirmed world record was just over an inch longer than the previous record holder, Sato. The owner describes the steer as a big, gentle character who is loved by the community in Clay County, Alabama. I've been described as that, a big, gentle character.
Yeah. They've actually put a big red sign now on the back of the steer that says, wide load.
Did you see the story yesterday that... I thought this was an Onion story when I saw it. A story yesterday that said, there is definitive medical evidence, and this is a study that's gone on for a while, that people under the age of 30 in particular are beginning to develop horns.
Oh, come on.
Because of the
horns on the back of their head.
Millennials.
Because of text neck. Text neck is when you have your neck in a downward position.
Right.
You know, for hours and hours a day looking at your phone.
Yeah.
And it creates bone spurs on the back of your skull.
I read that, too.
Yeah.
Well, they're also the spawn of Satan.
Well, and there is some X-ray evidence of this, by the way. I think I saw the same story, and there are a couple of X-rays that show this little spur, but it's way far away from a horn.
They're probably just calling them horns, yeah, and they're just little nodules.
What, do you want little nodules on the back of your head? Lift your neck up, or your head up.
Grow your hair longer,
also on a
if
related,
you can.
On a related note, Engelbert Humperdinck's real name was Arnold George Dorsey. Our listener was wrong.
Oh, yeah. Taken again.
Yeah, sorry.
I thought it was Bert Dink.
Well, that would be reason to change your name, wouldn't it?
We're pretty sure he does not have horns.
Next. Homeowners and commercial property owners in Chicago's north side and the city's central core could be hit with much steeper property taxes this year. Good news?
No. Great.
This is me. No, it's not good news.
Yeah, my sister as well. A northward shift in the city's tax burden means many south side property owners will be spared big hikes. A Northsider owns a single-family home with an average market value of $300,000. Will pay an average of $5,213 in property taxes this year, according to the Cook County Clerk's office. That's an increase of about $500.
What happens if your place worth $42,000 and is in Lincoln Square? Will I be getting dinged here, Steve?
Well, it looks like a 10% to 12% increase across the board.
No, wait. What did you say that the average was there again?
The $300,000 home, you'd pay $5,213 in property taxes.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
$536 higher than last year. I wanted to throw that at you. Good news. Next. Illinois drivers caught using their cell phones as of July 1st while they're driving will soon face harsher penalties, could ultimately lead to a suspension. Beginning July 1, drivers caught using an electronic device will no longer be issued just a warning ticket on the first offense. Instead, they'll get a moving violation. Three in a year results in a suspension. In addition to the moving violation, the person who violates the law will be fined a maximum of $75 on the first, $100 on the second, $125 on the third, and $150 after that. I don't know if you lose your license on the third. I don't know how you get one after that, but you're driving without your license.
And the important caveat about this, Steve, is this is going to apply even when you're sitting at a stoplight or a stop sign.
Right.
So if you come to the stop sign and you think, okay, it's a good time to check my phone now, doink, you're going to get pulled over for that.
Well, I'm all for that, because how many times a day do you have to honk your horn because the nunuk in front of you isn't paying attention to the light screen?
I did it 3 times this morning.
People honk their horn at you?
The nunuk.
At least
you were the nunuk?
I was the nunuk. I absolutely did get honked at.
And then you have that thing where you overcompensate and you floor it as soon as possible.
Yeah. And how are they going to prove this? I mean, usually if you see somebody in your mirror going, uh-oh, you throw your phone or you put it in your purse. How are they going to, prove that you were on your phone? Unless they look at your phone and say, ha-ha, just texted 2.3 seconds.
The police saw it.
Well, okay.
That's funny. I've never put my phone in my purse.
But your purse does go with your shoes.
I do it all the time. Yeah, oh, I'm somebody's mad. Behind me. It's throw it in the purse.
And finally, if you're eating this weekend, KFC will soon mash Cheetos into their chicken sandwiches.
Wow.
This is what it's come to.
KFC has confirmed it's going to be launching KFC Cheetos sandwiches beginning July 1st. Well, thank God. How many times do we have to ask for this? This sandwich will contain their famous fried chicken, mayo, a special Cheetos sauce, and a handful of crunchy Cheetos on a toasted bun. If you're eating this, you're already thinking pot's legal.
Yeah, and a little crunched up Crestor on top of that just for a little taste.
Yeah. Don't eat it in the car if you get car sick.
KFC successfully tested the sandwich in North Carolina, Georgia, and Virginia. Well, it's hard to believe it worked in North Carolina and Georgia. KFC says the sandwich will only be available for 4 weeks because then everyone will be dead.
Right. Don't they have a name for it?
It's called the Lipitor. 312-981-7200 is the number if you want to be Lou's first caller. We'll come back with that.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's first call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for
Do you think Lori Lightfoot and Gordon Lightfoot are related, Lou?
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down.
That's the best Lori Lightfoot I've ever heard.
Yeah, she's
that's really good.
That was her.
It's a strong impression.
I don't know if they are, but
strong.
They could be.
First caller for you, my friend, is Glenn in Romeoville. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, guys.
What is your question, sir?
I had a wooden floor put in my house on the third level, lower half of it's underground. And it's about 18 by 24, and every slat in the floor is warped. You could roll a marble down, and it'll go up and down over the entire floor.
And you'd like to know how to recommend
this is the third floor?
Well, you know, on a quad-level house, you have a kitchen and a living room, and then right. You go down to a family room.
Right.
It's the family room.
So the family
room
is... I have
never had water there.
Wait. But so the family room is below grade?
Yeah, half of it.
Okay, and okay. It's a real wood floor, like a 3/4-inch wood floor.
Correct.
And you don't remember in the installation if they put down vapor barrier?
Well, I saw them staple wood, like a 1/4-inch piece of wood into the cement.
Okay.
But I don't know if they put the barrier... below that or above that?
Well, so here's the thing. If you're getting that kind of curling through the entire floor, if you're ever putting hardwood floor in a below-grade application like you have right now, the vapor barrier is critical. And even then, with a vapor barrier, because we have moisture that can wick up through the concrete, it's very difficult to control that. And quite honestly, most flooring contractors will not recommend using a wood floor. There is, I mean, other than if you were to run a box fan across the top of this floor literally 24/7, you could probably get the moisture to come out of that floor and the curling to go down a little, but not all the way. Unfortunately, the only way to fix this would be, you know, if you wanted to keep real wood flooring, you'd have to take up that floor, you'd have to seal the concrete with a really good sealer, then... mechanically fastened plywood to that, which would have a vapor barrier under the plywood and over the plywood, and then the hardwood floor would go on. And even with that, Glenn, it would not be my recommendation that you would use a hardwood floor below grade.
So basically, Glenn, if I'm hearing Lou correctly, you feel like the contractor should have said it's a bad idea to do a wood floor.
Right. We should come up with an alternative.
Well, hindsight's always the best
know.
Way.
Oh, sure, of course.
But I mean, for other people listening, you know, that are hearing this, it's just not a good idea. And there are people that disagree with me, and they're certainly entitled to that, but I have seen over the years any kind of wood in a below-grade application like that just does not hold up well long-term.
Yeah, well, this is true. It really happened here because it's the entire room.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wish we had better news for you, but we're
going to try the box fan in a corner, literally turn it on low, leave it there. You may even want to run a dehumidifier down there. It will get better, but it won't be perfect.
Okay.
All right.
I just needed a professional opinion.
Sorry.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Thank you for listening. That's great. We have listeners call the show, and Lou just depresses them.
Thanks.
Desktop Indoor Weather Station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Man, 855-955-HVAC. And we like Glenn, so give him everything else, too. Anything else you want to give him, Michael?
You could do a contest. Is it Lou Manfredini, or is it Glum from the Lilliputians? Eeyore. Or is it Eeyore?
Hey, I was at my daughter's house last night.
Nice.
Which is a
new house, right?
Yeah, new house.
Nice.
Lovely home.
Congratulations.
But she's got, I think she got the hard water. You know the hard water I'm talking about? It's
sure.
Like the arthritis.
Right, the hard water.
She
right.
got the arthritis. She got the hard water.
Right.
Because you get that ring in the toilets.
Well,
so she used the CLR.
Yeah.
And it went away, mm-hmm. but then it came back fairly quickly.
Yeah. Ask her if it is hard water and a lot of iron deposits.
God, don't drink in the morning.
It's just something. A little Bailey's in the coffee. What's wrong with that? What about trying? There's a product you can buy at the hardware store, Steve, called Hurricane. Not Hurricane, but Hurricane.
Spelled H-U-R-R?
Yeah, and it's a packet that she can put in the toilet tank when she goes to sleep. The whole idea is you pour it in there, and it kind of foams up like, do you remember, John DeCosta, remember this,
yes.
Brioski?
Yes.
Right. It's Brioski for your toilet tank, and it'll foam up, and it'll clean the inside of that tank. She's probably getting some residue with what's built up on the inside of the tank every time she flushes.
Okay.
Where when you said, oh, it cleans up, but then it comes back, this will lengthen that amount of time and probably be much easier for her to clean, that she wouldn't have to worry about using CLR.
Look at you, you genius. Can you use Alka-Seltzer if you don't have Brioski?
Yes. I mean, yes.
According to John, you
yes.
can.
Yes, I have. Let's just put it that way.
Right.
Alka-Seltzer Plus. It's got to be Alka-Seltzer Plus.
Well, right, because if you have a cold,
yeah.
you want that.
Exactly.
Does anybody on this show have any urgent issues for Lou?
I got a question for Lou.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, Lou. Good morning. So, you know that I'm one of the elite slumlords in the nation.
I do know that.
So, I had a handyman come over, Lou. We had a light needed to be fixed on the porch. He brought
this is a building you own?
This is a small house, yes. So not okay. So,
well, let's make it sound
remember,
good.
Remember, he's elite.
This is a high-rise you own?
This is a huge high-rise right on Michigan Avenue that I own. Mm-hmm. There was a light out on the porch. The handyman came over. He brought the tools, put them on the porch. Apparently attempted to fix the light, didn't come through, light not fixed, left his tools, and hasn't been back for 3 months. Any recommendations?
Sell the tools.
The tools.
Yeah.
Oh. High five.
Well, I mean, we need a different handyman,
yeah,
right?
But
well, did he find out someone was dead in his family? I mean, why did he leave?
I don't know what happened to Pat, and I'm a big Pat guy, so I'm having a hard time moving on.
Bizarre.
I trust Pat.
Right. Is the light still there?
Don't know. I'm getting emails from the...
Is your car still there?
I just got emails from the tenants. Hey, buddy, the grass here is 10 feet high, and this guy showed up to fix the light, and he didn't even fix it and left his tools, and I haven't heard from him.
Yeah, you may want to take care of that.
Can you do something?
I think you're going to have a busy weekend.
Right.
Lou, real quick, we had our central air... The check and maintenance done.
Yep.
They told us next year we will probably need a new unit no matter what because it takes Freon, and the Freon will be gone.
Well, they've been saying that, John, for a long time. I mean, the refrigerant that's being used in a lot of the systems now has changed quite a bit. But the older R22, what they call, is still available, but it's very expensive. And the thing is, if you have an issue where you've got a leak where you're constantly putting it in, I mean, we're talking about a few hundred dollars that you have to do, and then eventually, you know, the system's going to blow out. And if you know that you have to replace it from a budgetary standpoint, it's good to kind of think about it and say, well, if we can, you know, nurse this along for this year, we may have to bite the bullet and go next year as well. And then, you know, that's the thing, depending on the age of the furnace. I'm a very big proponent of changing the systems out at the same time, the furnace and the AC, with like equipment.
Lightning round products here. Is the Hurricane septic safe?
It is absolutely septic safe.
Okay.
It's developed by a plumber.
Well, spray the what was the spray and forget for the house to get rid of mold?
Wet and forget, and they now have a rapid application hose end that you put on the end of a garden hose, and it'll spray up to 30 feet.
Lou, what do you recommend to clean drains out in your house, stuff you could pour down for maintenance?
I really like this product called Green Gobbler. It's a pretty new product that is made out of a company out of New Jersey, and they have a packet similar to the Hurricane, actually, that you can pour down the drain and does a really, really nice job.
And your favorite thing you're selling at Ace Hardware right now?
My favorite thing that we're selling right now at Ace Hardware are these really cool LED... They look like tiki torches, but they have a plastic stake on them, and they're solar-powered. And you can do different size pipes that you put on there depending on the height you want. But they're low, so the highest they'll be is probably 2.5 feet.
Okay.
But you can put them around the yard. You will go to bed thinking, I need to go outside and blow out that candle. And you don't have to. Because it's LED and it's solar powered, and it is the coolest ambient light you've ever seen.
Oh, very cool. What's it called?
LED tiki torches.
LED tiki torches. Got it.
And Lou, my husband says you look fantastic.
Oh, I saw your husband at the Villa Park
Games. Yes, he did.
He's so nice.
Yeah, he said, wow, I didn't recognize him. Oh, he looked unbelievable.
Well, he's wearing women's clothes. I mean, that's part of the problem.
Is it wrong to wear a nice summer dress on a day like
Nothing
today?
Wrong to feel pretty in the morning.
Nope. Right.
What are you doing on TV?
We're going to give the 411 on how to repair your own screen. torn screens.
Okay. Thanks, buddy.
Love you.
Love you back. See you on the radio, and come back with your headlines after this.
If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell.
The music of Lori Lightfoot.
Just like an old-time movie about a ghost from a wishing well.
Sing it, Lori.
In a castle dark or a fortress strong with chains upon my feet.
Can you imagine if Gordon Lightfoot could sing like this, how well he would have done? 312-981-7200. We need two contestants. 312-981-7200. We need two people who are ready, willing, and able to play Lightfoot or Lightfoot. I'll give you a clue. You'll have to tell me whether it's Lori Lightfoot or Gordon Lightfoot. By the way, you might be saying, Steve, sure, we'll have some fun, but what's in it for me? Well, let me tell you, you're going to win tickets to see Gordon Lightfoot in concert. He's opening for Lori Lightfoot, who's going to come out and make a fiery speech right after the show. A pair of tickets to Gordon Lightfoot at the Copernicus Center on September 27th. It's 80 years strong as he celebrates his 80th birthday with his hits, his anecdotes, and all from his 50-plus year career. And he's going to be telling stories about Engelbert Humperdinck, who he calls the old guy.
Would it be wrong if I went and just stood up the whole time and really just got into each tune?
There we go. You rock! What if I come with you and you get on my shoulders and pump your fist?
I mean, that's kind of the vision that I'm having.
Or do the wave back and forth.
I told a story yesterday of a texter, a listener that texted in and said they were at a Gordon Lightfoot concert. And he comes out, and as the applause dies down just a little bit, some guy screams out, "Rock and roll!" And Gordon Lightfoot leans into the microphone and says, "Wow, are you in the wrong room?" Lightfoot or Lightfoot? 312-981-7200. Let's do this. Oh, I forgot about this. Remember this song? It's one of Lori Lightfoot's biggest hits.
I love this one. It was our first dance at our wedding.
Sundown. I can see you lying back in your satin dress. You know what this is about, right?
No, we just like to dance to it.
Sundown. It's a song about a hooker. You know that, right?
Okay, not at the time. You know, now.
Nancy's from Arlington Heights. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
Thanks for being on. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fine. Thanks for listening. You have big plans for the Friday? What are you doing today?
Just hanging out at home.
All right. That's okay. That's all right. Nothing wrong with that. Let's get your competitor on. Dade's here from Wrigleyville. Hi, Dade.
Hi. How are you?
Doing fine. It's a cool name, Dade. Is that a nickname or is that your real name?
No, my ancestor got killed in the Seminole and Indian Wars and 1850, I believe. I can't remember. Dade County, Florida.
Oh, is that right? You're named after a county.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's kind of cool. Here's the way this works, Nancy and Dade. Your name is your buzzer. So I will give you a Lightfoot fact. You buzz in by saying your name. You tell me if it's Gordon Lightfoot or if it's Lori Lightfoot. Now, if you buzz in, you get the wrong answer. The other person obviously gets to steal, and it's not that hard since there's only one other choice. Are you ready to play?
Ready.
Yes.
Fact number one, this Lightfoot is known to rock stylish trademark fedoras.
Carm.
No, you can't play. You're not a contestant. Say your name to buzz in.
Nancy,
you're first. Well, is it Gordon Lightfoot or Lori Lightfoot?
I'm going to say Gordon.
That's incorrect. Lori. It's Lori Lightfoot. Lori Lightfoot in the fedoras, but that's a good question. That's a good fact. By the way, Michael Heidman wrote this. So these if you
good.
Like it,
these are good.
Nicely done. If you don't like it, it's Michael Heidman. All right, fact number two. Dade, you're the leader in the clubhouse. You have one. First person to three wins. Fact number two. This Lightfoot's favorite artist to watch is Bob Dylan.
Nancy. Gordon.
That's Gordon Lightfoot. The game is tied. Ding,
yay.
Ding, ding. Meanwhile.
Just picture us dancing.
I really want to go see this concert. I'm going to be honest. I want to go. Where is it? The Copernicus Center?
Yes.
This Lightfoot has played Chicago's Wintrust Arena.
Ooh.
Nancy. Gordon.
It's incorrect. It's Lori Lightfoot. She had her inauguration there. Gordon Lightfoot has never played Wintrust Arena. All right, Dade. Actually, I answered it for you, though I figure you had a pretty good chance since it's the only other answer. So, Dade, you're up 2-1 here. One more, oh, and you're a winner. And Dade, I like the way Dade's playing a prevent defense here. You see how Dade's doing this?
I know.
Dade's just laying back. He's not buzzing in.
Let's force Dade to answer one here.
Well, it was the word played.
Oh, I get you. I get you. I totally get you.
Okay.
This liberal, politics-loving superstar, Alec Baldwin, is a big fan of this Lightfoot.
Dade. Lori.
It's incorrect. It's Gordon Lightfoot.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin loves Gordon Lightfoot. I'm feeling okay. The game is tied at 2. You can cut the tension with a knife. Next question will make a winner. Oh, this is what we came to play for, isn't it?
I want to tell Dade that it's now Wade County, not Dade County. Dwayne Wade. Go ahead, Steve. Sorry.
I've heard them all.
Finally, this Lightfoot is known to work out at a gym 6 days a week.
Ooh, that's hot.
Wow.
Nancy. Okay, Gordon.
It is Gordon!
Yeah, Nancy!
Wow! I would have gone Lori Lightfoot all day. But this 80-year-old guy works out 6 days a week. The iron boats go out. We haven't seen a comeback like this in Lightfoot versus Lightfoot in forever.
I'm so excited.
What a turnaround.
Well played, Nancy.
Yeah, you know what, Dade? You're a good sport, pal. We have consolation prizes for you, Dade, including a pair of Gordon Lightfoot socks. A pair of tickets to see Gordon Lightfoot for you, Nancy, September 27th at the Copernicus Center. Enjoy that. And thank you both for playing America's hottest game, Lightfoot versus Lightfoot. We're back with the headlines in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in just a second. But first, I have to find all the paperwork I need to find. I got so excited about Lightfoot versus Lightfoot.
I hope the mayor is listening to this.
Those are good questions,
awesome.
Aren't they? Didn't Heidemann do a good job there?
Yeah.
I mean, that was great.
Honestly,
was
I didn't even know what Heidemann does on this show. That's like the first thing he's ever done.
Lightfoot has socks. That's amazing.
Athletic That's what you got out of that? Yeah. Is Lightfoot has socks?
And they must be athletic socks. Look at him.
Gordo going socks is huge. They sell those at the Copernicus Center that night?
Sure. Sure. Ceremonial super souvenir socks.
Well, this is definitely Wacker Drive. If my estimations are correct, we should be very close to
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
Hour number 2, Big Friday Show. Glad you're listening to it, and thank you for that. It is June 21st. That means it's the first day of summer. Bridget Gaynor has joined us, as she does on almost every Friday. We appreciate that. Nice to see you.
Good to see you, too.
You look lovely.
Thank you very much.
First day of summer.
For all you know, or for all they know, you're lying, but yeah.
I wouldn't lie about that. You look fantastic.
Well, it's actually summer now, so it's great. So it's official. It's the first day of summer. It's actually not raining.
And you see what Mother Nature did?
Yeah.
I said, let's throw them a curve. Let's make it look like summer. All right, so I have to ask you a question before we move on here.
Yes.
The president called back what seems to be a strike on Iran military targets last night, radar installations, things of that nature. I don't know in my lifetime that I've ever heard of this. Because we have better reporting, or because it's Donald Trump? I mean, what's your instinct?
Well, all of it's concerning. For the one is if people are actually leaking this information, they shouldn't be leaking this information, because I don't care if you hate the guy. It's not good to be talking about the deliberations of what's happening.
No.
Because it makes it look like either we had bad information going in, we lost our nerve right at the end. It makes no sense. So, whether it's better reporting or whether there's a lack of, self-editing about what is actually important.
Well, that's the thing,
security.
Too, that's disturbing in regards to the sources, because multiple sources have been credited by multiple legitimate places. I mean, we're not talking about InfoWars here. We're talking about the Washington Post and the New York Times and the networks. So one of the theories is that Iran somehow signaled back
maybe through diplomatic channels, that, okay, don't send the planes.
Yeah.
We'll talk. But the Ayatollah is in Iran saying, I have no interest in talking to Donald Trump.
Right, but that's diplomacy. They can't get ahead of their people right now, and so that's why things work behind the scenes, which is why the disclosure is so disheartening. Now, the thing that's more concerning about it is, was it leaked from internal on our side because people wanted to make it look like, you know, that they showed force and there was brinkmanship and they got what they wanted?
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, right? Because I've never seen a president go, send the planes halfway. And then when they get halfway, turn them around and let them know we could have sent them all the way.
Well, we just don't know that. Maybe it's happened before. Well, we have no idea.
Yeah, fair point. Because the 13 days, the
exactly.
famous
right.
documentary about the Kennedy and Bay of Pigs situation. Of course, it was bigger than a situation then. There were incredibly stressful diplomatic channels that
right.
were used to make sure that every word was right, every bit of punctuation, so it wouldn't be misinterpreted.
Yeah, Twitter doesn't autocorrect. That's the problem.
No. So we'll see what goes on.
Yeah.
I don't see the Ayatollah responding the same way as Kim Jong-un. I don't think there's going to be a big summit and hugs.
Well, yeah, but look at who is surrounding the president at this time. We have no Secretary of Defense.
So right.
We haven't had a permanent Secretary of Defense now for months. They put in an interim who you would have thought wouldn't have been able to get the job because he worked for Boeing, which was in an issue of not being regulated enough, and thus people
mm-hmm.
died.
Mm-hmm.
But no, yet it wasn't that. It was the fact that he had this massive issues in his personal life, which weren't caught. So who is the steady hand that is making these decisions in regards to our defense operations when there hasn't been leadership in 6 months?
Well, we certainly hope it's not Eric Trump. That would be troubling. So, but anyway, that's a major news story this morning for obvious reasons. Did you see this other story about these unidentified flying objects that the Air Force has seen, where they're going, dude, we don't know what this is, but it's weird. And then there's a commission now that's being put together to study this.
I couldn't tell. I'm like, is this some sort of thing where then you're going to turn the page and they're like, did you actually believe
right.
that?
An onion story. Felt like an onion story.
Right. Exactly. But then again, it's why like the show Veep isn't as funny anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's a little too close to reality.
Veep feels like a documentary. True to life.
Right. And The Onion feels like a real newspaper.
I'm being told that one of the aliens is on the phone. One of the aliens that
let's
has been
it.
Seen.
Let's do it.
Let's go to the phone now. Good morning. Are you one of the aliens?
I am. Good morning, Earth Radio.
Do you have a name? How could I refer to you?
Yes, my last name is Strain, first name Uranus.
Uranus Strain.
Right.
I think it was the other way around, but anyway.
Yeah, no, I know.
But you know what, this
just
is
for
a family
record,
show.
Just for the record, I know it's the other way around. How about if I just call you you for now? Is that okay, Mr. You?
Most of my friends have called me you.
Okay. Can you tell me these sightings of, I guess it'd be your spaceship or your people's spaceship, where are you from?
Well, I'm not too far from, I'm just left of the Milky Way, a little on the road to Zagnut, a place called Dade County.
All right, I'm making a note of that, appropriately so. And what is your purpose? Why are you visiting? Why are you here?
Well, excuse me, there's two reasons. One, we love Cracker Jack. We are unable to find that in our area. And also, we visit Vermont quite a bit because our money currency that we use is what you would call, I guess, your maple syrup.
Oh, is that right? So it goes a long way in Burlington.
It goes, yes. We're huge fans of the Burlington area.
What do you hope to gain from being here? I mean, are you doing research, or what's the deal?
No. I've been coming since about 57,
oh.
I think. Picking up Cracker Jack. I do you remember?
Are you talking about the Cracker Jacks from the baseball games we have here? Those things?
Oh yes, yeah. By the way, if you know anybody, the prizes are horrible now.
Yeah, they met more a long time ago.
Have the prizes changed or just you changed?
You the alien?
No,
yeah, you the alien.
No, the prizes are, I used to get plastic toys and stuff. Now I just, there's like a little paper thing in there that means nothing. So
like
waste
a tattoo,
of time.
Like one of the tattoos?
If you're going to come all the way from Zagnut to Earth, you would think that you'd get something better than that.
Thank Thank you. Thank you. If you, again, if you could talk to somebody, I would really appreciate
it. We'll talk to the people at Cracker Jack. Now, this spaceship was sighted, in particular, one of them was sighted as doing crazy turns at high rates of speed and things that we just don't have the technology to do. What's going on with the equipment here?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We've always had that. I think I heard it referred to as a tic-tac. I drive a Mentos 300. It's used. Don't get me wrong. It's used. I can't afford a brand new one. My wife and I are on a budget.
Right.
So, but we always drive that way. That's our rules of the road. That's pretty much what we do.
Is there any threat to us? Are you here to harm us in any way?
Oh, no, no, no. Not unless I can't get Cracker Jack.
All right. Well, man has
been very upset if I can't get the Cracker Jack. But no, not at all. We actually, to be honest with you, we came here. We thought initially we would get your show on our Vision Vistas. We call them our Vision Vistas.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought it was a sitcom, and it turns out it's what you do every day.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it is, as a matter of fact. Well, listen, I appreciate the call. Would you check in again soon?
Oh, no problem. I've talked to my travel agent. That's why I made it here. And I don't know if you know the slogan to come to Earth is visit once, shame on me.
Okay. All right. All right. And once again, the name is Uranus, Strain.
That's my name, Mr. Strain. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. You didn't see that coming. Let me tell you something there, Gaynor. You ain't getting that up and down the aisle.
Nope.
Right?
Nope.
Telling me that now.
I thought he was very balanced, Steve.
He seems like a delightful guy. All he wants is Cracker Jacks.
Good perspective.
No. But isn't it Cracker Jacks? Isn't it the plural?
And maybe he just thought one was all he could take. That was it. He didn't want to overdo it.
Who am I to question the digestive tract of an alien?
Right. You don't know what this guy looks like.
Well, based maybe on his name, like I have a sense.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Justin Blake and the Black Underground Recycling Program in just a second. Do you have a sense, Bridget Gaynor, from your work with Cook County, of the measure of hunger in Cook County?
I mean, I know it's... you know, much bigger than you would think. And actually, it's worse in the suburbs often than the city.
Is that right?
Well, there's less services and, you know, there are fewer organizations that serve people in need. But I know that the Chicago Food Depository does an enormous amount of work, and a lot of their focus in the last couple of years has been reaching out to the suburbs.
Justin Blake feeds over 1,000 people a month for free through community organizations and proceeds they collect through their work. And the Chicago Food Depository can't do it all. And Justin is stepping up here. Justin and his organization. Good morning to you, sir.
Salaam alaikum. Good morning, Steve. How you doing? I can sort of visually see you storming the castle.
Yeah, you're going to... Yeah, if you want to go with me, let me know.
Yeah, for sure. We're glad to be on this morning with you. We've been, since last November, feeding over 1,000 people every month for free through our street team soup line and delivery to senior citizens and vets. And we do all that through recycling aluminum cans. We just put our first box in front of the Jug Taco Man on 7723 South State. And right before you go into his wonderful business, you can leave your aluminum cans, which is the fuel of our mechanism
that
allows us to do what we do.
How many cans do you process? Any idea?
Oh, my God. I don't know at this point, but it's growing. We have a tentative agreement with the library system to do 10 libraries at a time. They have our collection boxes out in front of them, as well as Home Depot. We got to work out the logistics, but they're, again, going to do us 10 stores at a time to every store in the metropolitan area.
Basically, it's $1.50 for every 100 cans you recycle. That is a lot of manual labor. Where's all the volunteer work coming from?
Well, we get it from the neighborhood. Most of the benefits are going to the Inglewood area and the metropolitan area spread out. Besides that, we go on to Lower Wacker Drive. We go to Tent City. We go all the way up to Evanston, feeding the homeless and those that are in need of food. We have an awesome goal to open a free 24-hour computer lab in Inglewood for the young people that
will
be able to seek shelter and not be outside in harm's way.
There are 172,800,000 cans recycled every day in this country.
My man, there you go.
Every day. So what's your goal?
Well, our goal is if we could capture 1% to 5% of that, we're the third largest market in the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois. That would mean a little bit below a million every day or a little bit above. If we catch 1% to 5% of that every month, man, that's $800,000.
That would be huge. That's life-changing. You can take a struggling community like Englewood. And again, you know, we talk about this all the time, but Bridget, you know this better than anybody. 99% of the people in the toughest neighborhoods in Chicago want the same thing people want everywhere in Chicago.
Damn straight.
You want to work hard, you know, earn your way. You want your kids to get to school safely and come home safely. You just want your life, and you want to be able
to
maximize your life. This gives Englewood an opportunity which it might not otherwise have.
That's correct. There's no budget in the city, state, county or federal people that have a community that has struggled in the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years like Englewood. They're number one on our list in our budget. We can not only lessen our carbon footprint and recycle aluminum cans, but we can recycle one of the greatest neighborhoods in Chicago.
This computer center that you're hoping to establish, where is it going to be?
They closed over 50 schools in the Englewood area, and we've been talking with aldermen and Cook County commissioners to try to get one of those schools to put the lab in. We would hope that it would be by a bus line or a train line where the children would be able to come in and get their lessons and get out.
There is a place where proceeds are being directed right now. Where's that?
That is, well, we have a 501c3 bank account with Work of Faith Ministries at Seaway Bank, so you could do that. And if you had any questions or want to see about our work, you could go to Black Underground Recycling on Facebook or blackundergroundrecycling.com.
It's a great thing.
Mm-hmm. You're awesome, Justin.
Right?
You're awesome.
Well, we appreciate you, Steve. We think you're awesome as well, big bro.
Congratulations on everything you're doing, and please keep it up because Englewood needs you, but we all need you. Justin Blake, working hard. Thank you. Hold on for a second. Oh, he's the most valuable person on the planet. I don't know if you heard him.
I did.
Right there, most valuable person on the planet.
It's good stuff.
It's amazing. Can you imagine the manual labor that goes through processing that amount of cans in a given day?
Text line, Justin Blake's a lifelong friend. Tell him Derek Wood Evanston says hello.
There you go.
You know, you wonder, I remember when we were growing up at school, you'd have a newspaper recycling drive where everyone would bring their papers into school. And I know they come now to your house, but I think there's something to be said for people bringing it all to one place so you can see the enormity of what you're able
to contribute.
It's a
great point.
So kids could do a can drive, too.
And then visually realize how they're changing
the
world.
What is it going to turn into? Cans for food.
You know why it's fun to be a dude? Justin Blake's
so many reasons.
Well, there's a lot of reasons. Justin Blake's a lifelong friend of mine. Great guy. Please tell him hello from Derek, as Carmen just said. He also added this. We actually bark when we see each other.
I left that part out. I don't know why.
You don't see a lot of women doing that. Reggie, you don't see your friends go, woof, woof.
Well, you just don't see it. Is that right? We know better than to do it in public.
Coming up, who's going to win the final trip to Prague? Stand by for that. And, you're going to be excited. Marcia, Mary, Bridget, you're going to be excited. Today, Mark Carman's wedding fashion show.
That's big.
Mark Carman, how many suits have you brought in?
I brought in 4 suits, Steve.
4 suits.
Are you putting them all on?
Yep. And you guys are going to help decide what Mark Carman's going to wear to the wedding.
This is fantastic.
What color do you...
We were saying, the only tragedy is my mom's not here. Since she was able to give you such pointed advice on save the dates and other aspects of your wedding, it's too bad.
It's the only person more judgmental would be Bridget's mom. Actually, I could roll my mom in here, for those of you familiar with my mom. So...
Well, as we were saying before, for a second I thought we could do FaceTime, and then I thought, she doesn't do FaceTime, because when you ask her, she said, why would I want to look at you when I'm talking to you? Isn't talking enough? Isn't it enough that we're talking?
You know, she's not wrong. The phone was designed to talk.
She's so not wrong.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
So not wrong.
That's designed for grandchildren.
Yes, that's right. 7:32, we'll come back, get your headlines next. 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Me, you, Prague. Who didn't see this coming? David Hochberg will be there as well. Oh, by the way, let me identify the band all in studio here. Marsha, how are you today?
I'm doing excellent.
Fine. Good, good. John DeCostas?
Present.
Yes. Steve Grzanich and Mary Vandeveld in the newsroom. Mark Carman's here for Dave Ennett.
Hey, Steve.
Mark Carman Fashion Show coming
looking
up for the wedding.
Sharp.
Bridget yeah. Gaynor's here.
Yep.
And David Hochberg is
Hi.
Here. Good morning, David Hochberg.
Good morning.
Who's coming to Prague with you?
My wife.
Okay, good.
It was going to be John DeCoste, but he was busy. He had a some comedy thing going on. In
Can't
Akron.
Say you aren't trying.
I tried.
Based on how you entered the room.
I tried. But, you know, Akron won out over going to Prague with me. So what does that tell you?
So you've never been to Prague either, have you?
I have not yet been to Prague.
Are you in on the storming of the castle with me?
I told you I'm behind you and Ennett with the snacks and the water bottles.
So in the Philadelphia Flyers will be the opponent for the opener.
The loser of that match. Of that
Phillies
battle.
Weren't available.
Yes.
But that's just one part of the trip. We'll be there for 5 days.
Yeah, we're going to, there's a whole sightseeing trips put together by Bertrand Travel. Big Steve B put together a great trip.
I don't see me going on this.
I yeah, you, no, I don't see you. No. Come on, we have to get up at 6:30 at the bus.
I think there's a yeah. fair chance I'm going to wander off and cause some sort of international incident for the amusement of it.
That would be great. I'll bring bail money with a video camera loaded up with battery space to record everything. It'd be awesome.
You know, people have phones now that shoot video?
I have cameras, Steve. I am back in 1987. It was a good year. I enjoyed it.
So you have the giant camera.
I have the suitcase camera.
Oh, fantastic.
So people get out of my way. I've got two people that come with lights.
I look forward to you going through security at O'Hare.
Don't worry about it. I got guys there. I've done loans for all the TSA guys.
Well, good for you.
Slide right through.
Oh, I never thought about that. That's good.
You were nice enough to pop for another trip, a bonus trip.
Yeah, we sponsored a trip. Team Hochberg sponsored a trip for a lucky winner. We had thousands of entries. Thank you to all of the listeners across this listening area for entering to win this trip. I mean, thousands, Steve.
Yeah, no,
lots of zeros. John, that's lots of zeros. Thousands.
Okay, I told him.
But only one could win.
Only one could win.
And that one got a phone call yesterday.
Yes.
And lost her mind when she was told.
I heard.
Let me introduce you to the winner. Oh, do you know this woman?
I heard Sarah told me about the call that she was very excited, and I'm very interested in meeting her right now.
Raquel Feldsinger, you're going to Prague.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe it. I still can't believe it. I'm still pinching myself.
Well, congratulations, yeah, and be careful.
Yeah.
Who's going to go with you?
My best friend, Maurice.
Oh, fantastic.
Laurie or Maurice?
Yes. Laurie.
What do you think she said, Murray?
Maurice.
She said Murray.
I thought she said my best friend, Murray.
Laurie and her tailor, Murray.
That's fine.
No, she has taken me to so many games, and it's my time to repay her.
Well, that's a heck of a payback.
Yeah.
Take me to a few games, and I'm going to take you to Prague.
She better, wash your house and start buying you dinner or something.
Bridget, you've traveled the world. You've traveled the world for your job at Aon and various other illegal reasons.
Well, clearly.
do you have any recommendation for Raquel? And
I've never been to Prague, but I've heard it's so beautiful.
Would you pack lightly?
I always pack lightly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get it all into one bag?
Get it all into one bag. You know what I would recommend? There's that, what's that great movie with Ethan Hawke? And it was called Before Sunset. It takes place in Prague.
Does it?
Yep. All right. So they made a Before Sunset when about 20 years ago. And then it's like two people meet on a train and they spend the whole day together. They fall in love and then they're supposed to meet up. And then, of course, it doesn't happen because it was pre-cell phones. So then they make another movie called Before Sunrise. Oh, maybe it was the other way around. Anyway, 20 years later. So I would watch those two movies and get excited about
Prague. Because they're
proggy. Yeah. So there you go. You might meet some young, scruffy guy on a plane and
change
your life.
That sounds like how I met John DeCoste. That sounds like the beginning of our relationship,
It does
John.
Sound like your story.
I'm kind of surprised you're even doing it. It's just a deli in Crestwood. Why is the Prague deli in Crestwood? Why is this like a big trip? Way to sponsor, David.
5 days.
All right, Raquel, is your passport up to date?
Wow! Yes, my passport is.
Yeah, make sure you and your friends, your passport's up to date. And when you see me in the TSA line going, what time is it? Yeah. I just want you to know I'll be much better mood by the time we get there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I hope so.
No, we're going to have a ton of fun.
Yes. Oh, I'm looking forward to it, really looking forward. I can't wait till you storm the castle.
Yeah.
That's going to be a good time. Are you on your way to work? Yeah. You sound like you're going somewhere.
I am. I'm on my way to work, yeah.
And what do you do?
I work for a freight forwarder.
Oh, great.
For logistics, basically. Yeah.
Well, we don't have a freight forwarder on the show, right? So what's your freight forwarder?
It's called WNL International Express.
WNL, Super Joe, make a note of this. WNL International Express is now the official freight forwarder of the Steve Cochran Show.
Someone's got to carry the cameras and the lights.
Maybe we could talk about refinancing so you have enough money to pay for a new wardrobe while you're out there. And
how do you know our house hasn't paid for?
Maybe. This is
the exploratory conversation.
Trying to help your listeners out, Steve.
Can't you just take a day off and enjoy Raquel Feldsinger and her friend Murray?
Yeah.
Laurie.
Yeah, well,
Laurie, sorry.
Let's go with it. Laurie sounds better.
I can't wait to meet you in person. We're going to have a great time.
Me too. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. You and David, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, thank you, David.
That's very nice.
That's very nice of you.
It's nice to do this sort of stuff.
No concerns about where she wants to sit on the flight. Like
next to me.
Okay.
In between Steve and I.
I just figured.
That's a winner. That's a winner. That's a winner seat.
Just so we're clear, I'm sitting in the cockpit.
That's fine. Okay. No problem.
That's not a problem. All right, let's do this. David, thank you. And
thank you.
Why don't you tell people how to get a hold of Team Huckabee?
Very easily, go to the number five, the number six, david.com. You could also go, did my voice just crack, like pre-puberty there?
Yeah.
You could go to 855-56-DAVID. 855-56-DAVID is the phone number, 56david.com.
Are you having some kind of medical?
I don't know what's going on. I'm on like 2.5 hours of sleep. I feel great. If you see a black car, get the heck out of the way because I'm probably going to fall asleep on the way home. Go to 56david.com, 855-56-DAVID. You call Steve's cell phone, 630.
Easy.
All right. And thanks for listening, everybody. Carmen, you look fantastic for radio.
Oh, great nice suit. Transition, by the way.
Yeah, that's good. All right.
Coming up, it's the Mark Carmen Wedding Fashion Show. You're going to go change into your first suit right now.
Okay.
Right
now? For that?
Right now.
Sure.
Absolutely. Okay, cool.
And what time do you have to go to your real job?
8:30.
All right, so we got to get this all done by 8:30.
Okay.
Awesome. Okay. All right, so go change into your first suit, Carmen, and he'll come back and we'll begin judging
him. Steve.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, I did that part, didn't I? Sometimes I forget which show this is. By the way, it's a big show. This is show number 1400.
Oh, wow.
This is 1400 consecutive shows where Mike Madigan hasn't shown up to be interviewed.
Are we getting special t-shirts for the show? Or?
We should be.
Yeah,
you know what you say? Steve Cochran show number 1400. Who cares? That's going to be the shirt. Speaking of t-shirts, I can't announce this yet, but there's a great idea for a t-shirt that's coming up that we're going to be a small part of. For the 4th of July. I can't wait to tell you guys this, but it's about a week away. I'll tell you off the air.
Okay.
Well, everybody else has to wait. All right, so Mark Carmen has joined us in studio. Mark's filling in. You're going to get married when?
Steve, I'm feeling a little self-conscious. I don't know why.
Why? Because everybody in the room is staring at you?
Yeah, this was not a good idea.
Are you tired of being a piece of meat? You go, hey, my eyes are up here?
I got to embrace it. I'm getting married November 30th, Steve.
And you have said, I'm not going to wear a tux.
I'm not wearing a tux.
I'm going to wear a suit. Question is, what suit?
Right.
You have a custom-tailored suit selection. Now, the reason is because David Kaplan, our old friend Cap, is a complete lunatic, and Kaplan flies in some Turkish tailor.
Thailand.
Thai tailor.
Thailand.
Once a year. Turkish tailor. Comes in twice a year.
Yeah.
And then you guys order suits.
We go to the hotel room where he stays, and we all hang out and have tea, and then we buy suits. It's really amazing.
Is that a metaphor?
Could this be any more questionable?
Okay. All right.
Could this be any dicey?
The biggest challenge is both Cap and Carm are colorblind, so they think they're buying dark suits, and they don't realize it's like the clown show.
They get Luther Vandross leftovers.
Yes, right, from 1983.
So, all right, so these are custom suits.
Yeah.
They're going to fit you beautifully.
Look at the liner, huh?
Wow.
Get a cup of soup
you
with
thought
that.
The suit was a lot.
Yeah.
Going to a Cubs game?
Realize.
All right, so Bridget.
Exactly.
Bridget, I actually am. Thanks for making fun of colorblind. I actually am closely colorblind.
That's okay.
So that's okay.
No problem.
All funny to you.
You've got other challenges that we can pick on as well.
And other skills.
Yeah, another skill. Yeah. Thank you.
You've overcome.
You should be a teacher.
Look at how you've compensated.
Yeah, you've done very well.
Could you stop patting me on the head while I'm talking?
No.
I'll hit them low, you hit them high, and we'll be balancing out.
What color, Bridget Gaynor, would you describe this suit to be?
I'm going to go with Cubs blue.
Oh, good call.
Yeah.
Yeah, good call. Yeah.
So then when you're done getting married, you go right into a game and you're blending right in.
Right, right.
All right, I'd like you to give it a little bit of a strut. Do we have music for this?
Yeah. Strut.
Yeah, give me a little something musically.
Are you feeling like Tyra Banks right now?
A little bit. Take a walk around in a full circle. Take your headphones off. Take a walk around in a first full circle so everyone can get the full look of you.
We're gonna look around. Okay.
Now
walk
he's just messing with you. You don't have to do that.
You got
to
spin.
He's screaming.
Well, we didn't
me
say
too.
Walk like a duck. Just like walk yeah. like a Victoria's Secret model. Let's go.
Here he comes.
Walk like an Egyptian.
Yeah, shake it. Shake it. Yeah. There you go.
It's beautiful.
It's good.
It crinkles when he walks.
That's good.
Yeah. Wow, he really is uncomfortable, you can tell. All right, so give me a little bit of a fashion note or two. What do you think?
I think it's real bright.
Mm-hmm.
I think that...
I want to stand out, Bridget.
So this is the thing, though. What color dresses are the bridesmaids wearing?
No idea.
Okay. He doesn't care.
So you assume the bride is wearing white, so there's not going to be a conflict. But this suit it takes up a lot of color space.
It's
out there.
What would the bridesmaids' dresses color be that would make him not wear that suit?
Any variety of things, Mayor. What do you think?
Red? I mean, no.
If it was red, it would 100% look like you were doing an ad for the Cubs.
Yes. You know, you could get away with like a little light
pink. Get into that mic a little more.
A light pink. A little champagne color would go well with that, I think. Uh-huh.
Or it wouldn't clash.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to have a tough time with that color. It's a beautiful color.
Well, this is only option one.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there are many options still to come. This is option one. I think it's a great suit for a night out. It's a great suit for maybe an MC gig.
Or like the club.
Clubbing. But
or the circus.
Circus.
Thank you. Thank you, John.
Bridget,
exactly.
Mary, correct me if I'm wrong. It's not about him on the wedding day.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So because
how
of that,
are you jumping in on that, Hawker?
Listen, this is my second time around, buddy. If this doesn't work out, first of all, I'm broke and living in my van in Boys Town.
Down by the river.
No, but I'm just telling you right now. If you roll down with that, as if taking marital advice from me, you've got major challenges ahead of you. You don't want to have any attention. It's all about her, buddy.
Mother.
Right? And the mother. You roll in with that, doomed.
Because your take on this is a little upside down. You match what she the ladies are wearing.
Right.
They don't match you.
Right. I've been trying to get this across to the show. It's not working. The wedding is about me.
Yeah.
I don't know why we can't get that.
It'll be shorter than my first marriage. I was on the shrink's couch 70 days into it. All right?
Is that why Chelsea, when I met Chelsea, she was blinking, help me, I'm a hostage?
Exactly.
All right, go change. Give me another one. We'll come back. All right, Carm will go to put on something a little less Carm in just a second. 7:59 in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where we go next.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, boy, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah.
It's Moron Entertainment time. Oh, we got a very busy Moron Entertainment. First, welcome back from England. He's on the phone.
Jet-lagged.
He's on the phone. I thought he was on the phone.
Hello?
First, welcome back from London.
Hello?
Are you back or are you still there?
Kiddo. No, I'm back.
Okay.
I'm on South Michigan Avenue right now.
Oh, what do you...
I go from the Tower of London to the South Loop. That's the kind of travelogue kind of guy I am.
Well, you're building up those miles. What are you doing on South Michigan Avenue?
Steve, this is a super cool morning. We are at the site of the original Chess Records at 2120 Avenue. This is where Muddy Waters recorded, and Chuck Berry, and Etta James, and Willie Dixon, and significantly, the Rolling Stones. 55 years ago this month, they were such fans of the legendary blues artists here that came out of Chess Records that they wanted to come here and see what it was all about and record here, and they did record music here June 10th, 1964, and there's a photographic exhibit and a memorabilia exhibit of Rolling Stones photographs here at Test Records.
Very cool.
Them recording memorabilia when they stayed at the Palmer House downtown. So we're checking all of that out this morning. But also with me here this morning is Daryl Jones, who has been the bass player with the Rolling Stones since 1993.
Wow.
And we're kind of walking through all of this this morning. And he's here. He is actually here. Daryl, say hi to Steve Cochran.
Hey, man. How are you?
Good, pal. How are you?
Good. Real good, man. Real good.
How's it feel to be back amongst all the history there?
Oh, man, this is really amazing, man. Just really, it's, you know, it's pretty historic, yeah.
But, Daryl, for you, is it more exciting for you that you are part of the Rolling Stones, one of the greatest bands in the history of rock and roll, or is it more exciting for you that you and I went to the same high school? Chicago Vocational High School. Go Cavaliers!
Well, Dean, come on.
Right?
I think the answer to that's obvious.
It's a Cavalier world, man.
That's right. That's right. Both of us going to CBS prepared us for what our jobs, where our lives would take us later on.
And a bonus, Daryl, you are part of what we call Moron Entertainment.
You are now officially a moron, Daryl.
Okay. All right.
There you go.
So, well, he's taking it well. All right, Dean, here's what we're going
to
do.
I'm sorry, do you need to take a break?
No, go ahead. Give me what you got.
Well, I was just going to ask Daryl a little bit, you know, to give us a little preview of what's going to happen at Soldier Field tonight.
Oh, there you go.
And again, on Tuesday, we want to know.
And what the hell's he doing up at this hour?
And who says he went to bed last night?
That's fair.
If I know my rock and roll musicians. But what, I mean, first of all, like, how are you feeling? You're opening this tour, this much talked about tour that has been postponed because of Mick's heart valve replacement surgery. You're in your hometown. You're playing Soldier Field, where you, as a young boy, went to see James Brown perform. It's got to be, I mean, you must be filled with emotion.
No, it really is. It's amazing. It's an incredible homecoming. You know, these circumstances, you know, and now that you're mentioning them, you're making me nervous.
Oh, good.
That's good. Daryl, the only thing you got to be nervous about is how many comps you're getting asked for tonight.
Yeah, well, there is that. There is that, Steve, yeah.
What can we expect tonight? Is it going to be a show filled, obviously, with the hits? You got to play all the hits. But will there be new material? What are some of the things fans can look forward to?
Well, you know, I don't know that we could actually play all of the hits on one show, but there will be hits. Rock and roll will be played. Fun will be had. And there probably will be a few there'll be a few things that maybe people haven't heard before. We'll see.
Wow.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Wow, that's going to be fun.
You're hearing that here first. Now, what about Mick? You know, he has a valve replaced in his heart not that long ago, a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be prancing around the stage in the middle of Soldier Field tonight.
To be honest with you, you know, he looks as good as new to me. You know, in fact, when people mention it, it's hard for me to, you know, it's like, oh, that's right. Yeah, we postponed because of, you know, because he had this procedure. But he looks as good as new. I'm sure that, you know, him being the kind of person that he is, if he's ready to go, he's ready to go.
Yeah. What kind of preparation goes into this? What kind of rehearsal goes into a major tour like this?
Well, we rehearse for, you know, for a few weeks, just going through everything. You know, we go through a lot of the more obscure tunes, stuff that, you know, hasn't been played. And you know, at some point they decide that, well, maybe we'll choose a few from there. And, of course, like you say, we'll play, you know, the you know, some of the hits. I think it's going to be a really interesting show.
Yeah. Is it possible sometime during the show where you just grab the microphone away from Mick and go, this one's for Steve and Dean. Moron Entertainment rules.
If wishing would make it so.
Yeah.
Well, the great news is, Daryl, you'd be free tomorrow and the rest of the week if you do that tonight.
Yeah, exactly. That's for sure. Right. That's for sure.
All right. We're going to take a break here. You guys keep hanging out, and then we'll come back and talk to Dean a little bit more. That's Dean Richards live at Chess Records this morning, which is a very cool thing. Now, here's the pressure that Mark Carmen is under. Mark has to wear three suits in the next 11 minutes before you have to leave.
Well, right. If
this
you want my opinion.
Three
on
wardrobe changes. So,
okay.
How would you describe this, Bridget?
It's very fall colors.
And you're getting married some Thanksgiving weekend.
Right, brown with a big check.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if there's a print bridesmaid's dress in the offing, might be kind of complicated, but Maybe they're wearing a brown check dress, too. So you never know.
Yeah.
Probably not. But it's possible.
Are there a lot of plaid bridesmaid dresses?
I haven't seen them, but, you know, I don't know how it works.
So what you're saying is no.
I'm going to say,
well, let's
gonna,
go ahead
I'm going to take a pass.
Let's
I'm gonna
go
take
ahead
a pass.
And rate.
I'm going to do like this, like, not all the way a thumbs down. Like, it's a nice suit. For dinner, it's
universal thumbs
that's
down. Except for
to go to a funeral.
Going
for love of God, stop being
nice. I just want you to get a ride out of town.
All right, go.
Are you going to walk?
It's better than Cubs blue. I'll throw.
All right, go change. Go change.
A little bit like my grammar school uniform. All right. I'm just going to throw that out there. There's no yellow in it. There's no yellow in it. But
yeah,
we wore a brown check uniform skirt. So maybe I'm having like a flashback.
Maybe if you wore a skirt to your wedding, that would look better.
Maybe you could wear a uniform skirt.
A kilt would work.
Okay,
I
like a skirt.
Nice.
Okay, on a show that's this serious, YouTube are ridiculous. It's 8:21.
Okay,
we'll come back.
Change.
All right, guys, go get changed. We're going to come back in just a second. More of Dean, more of Mark Carmen's pre-wedding fashion show. The wedding is still months away, but we are judging Mark today on the suits he might wear at the wedding. All of this will be posted to social at Cochran Show on Twitter, Steve Cochran Show on Facebook and Instagram.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
All right, we have a time problem here, so we've got to get this done. Mark Carmen, before we get back to Dean, you're now wearing suit number 3. Bridget?
Well, it's more subtle than Cubs blue. Mm. It's like somewhere you were on your way to Navy and you got delayed. So it's not really Navy, but it's not Cubs blue. So a little brighter, but it's good. It's good. It's definitely my top of the three.
I'm feeling very unfulfilled by my choices here. I should have gone with somebody who knew what the hell they were doing when I was picking out these suits.
Next time, me and my mom should go with you.
Yes.
Because if you think I have opinions, yeah.
Yeah, not Cap. All right, so... Let's vote.
No, look.
I like it.
It's like I'm.
Oh wow!
I'm gonna go
get
like
some thumbs up.
We're
good.
Yeah.
There you go. Same vote. Angled up.
You like this one?
Out of the two other crappy ones, I like that one the
moving
best.
Moving in the right direction. Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to stand up for you. They're all great suits.
Right. Not for the
wedding. This is the most wedding appropriate.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
He looks good in all of them.
Still missing a tie.
I did not bring in ties, Marshall.
I'll bring in one of my bow ties that I'm known to wear.
We already said no bow tie.
No bow tie.
Known to wear.
All right, go change in the other one fast.
Okay.
Go. It's 8:28, and Dean Richards live at Chess Records this morning. We got a fashion show going on in here, Dean. We're trying to pick Mark's suit for his wedding. We got a lot happening.
Very exciting, and I don't want to upstage anybody, Steve, but I am standing right in front of the men's room where Mick Jagger peed 55 years ago this month.
Have they cleaned it?
Well, they, far as we know, they flushed, right?
Yeah, no, it's very immaculate. But here at Chess Records, which is 2120 South Michigan Avenue in the South Loop, it's Willie Dixon's Blues Heaven, a tribute to the blues and Willie Dixon that Willie Dixon's daughter continues. This is where the Rolling Stones were such fans that they came to record here. So, the men's room where I'm standing right now, let's just say that Mick got some satisfaction in that room.
And coincidentally, Dane, if you look to your right, just 5 feet to your right, is the first time someone looked at Keith Richards and said, boy, you don't look good. And that was also 55 years ago.
Actually, you know, the main reason here is there's a Rolling Stones photograph exhibit of when they recorded here, June 10th, 1964, and you look at the pictures of a Keith Richards from 55 years ago, he actually looks pretty good.
Yeah, he was healthy then.
Yeah, there was no indication of what was to come for that Mr. Richards, at least, anyway.
All right, I know you got to jump back on TV, but give me a couple movie reviews. Child's Play.
Child's Play, not screened for the critics. That tells you
not
everything
a good sign.
That you need to know, but the kid doll is back. The big movie for this weekend is Toy Story 4. It is phenomenal.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if it tops Toy Story 3, but it's equally as good. It's sweet. It's funny. It's hilarious. It's emotional. The Pixar people just cannot do anything wrong. Highly, highly recommending that. Also, we have Jim Gaffigan's movie called Being Frank, which opens today, in which he
Our
plays
pal Jim.
A guy.
I like him.
Yeah, he plays a guy who secretly has two wives and two families and gets caught in the deception.
By his son, who then goes on to blackmail him.
It's kind of a drama, thoughtful that way, but it's also a comedy with some funny moments. So I also enjoy that. I gave it a Dean's List B. We've got the Stones, as you know, tonight. And next Tuesday at Soldier Field, Tony Bennett is at Ravinia. Tonight, we've got Miranda Lambert and Keith Urban at Chicago Lake Shake Festival. I'm always very careful, Steve, as you know, how I say the name of that festival.
Yeah, because you said the S word on the show the first time we had one of these.
Yeah, one time I accidentally said a bad word. And that's going on at Northerly Island, so there's no shortage. I've got all kinds of stuff up at WGNTV.com. Sunday morning, we're going to go over all this stuff, and Daryl Jones, the bass player for the Rolling Stones, who I am with here at Chess Records this morning, will join me live on Sunday morning.
Cool. Very cool. All right. Thank you, buddy. Thank Daryl, too.
Have a good weekend, everybody. Thank you.
All right. There you go. Mark Carman's here for his final suit.
This has been the toughest morning I've ever done in radio.
Of four. Bridget, thoughts?
So you don't often see a burgundy pinstripe. I'm just saying that. Like, you know, so guess what? You will be the only person you or anyone else knows who got married in. But if the girls are wearing
burgundy?
Something.
That's burgundy?
The stripes are burgundy, right? Gray with burgundy pinstripes?
Wow. Sure.
You are an eagle. It's like you got all of these from Taiwan.
Well, yeah. From Cap's Closet.
You know, if the girls were wearing like burgundy dresses and you could wear a burgundy cummerbund, it'd be like prom and match.
And that would look great because it's fall.
It's really fall.
Really pretty.
What I'm getting
from
you guys.
I'm going to say this is number one.
Really?
So we started with the one that was most alarming, and then we kind of eased into something that you could say, you know what? No one will be talking about it afterwards. Yeah, so I'm going to give it a thumbs up.
Yeah. I kind of like the cubby blue still. Yeah. I don't know.
I like the cubby blue.
If you're getting married in the summer, you could get away with a bright
that's
color.
True.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think the groom wears something that says, hey, look at the groom.
He does.
Am I wrong about that? Has it changed? Have the rules changed?
I mean, look, I think everybody gets to pick their thing. You know, my husband got to pick the band. So that was like his thing. Maybe the suit is your thing.
No, bad move.
It's the only thing I got left. That and the gelato cart.
You have nothing.
When are you getting married? When? November what?
November 30th.
You get nothing and you'll like it.
Yeah, December 1st, you're done. Yeah, your life is over.
I think you ask her mom what she thinks about the suit.
Yeah.
You want me to call up her mother and ask her?
I think that, you want
to send her the picture.
You know what's going to happen.
Just walk in her house.
That means we're going somewhere to go buy me a suit. That's how that will go.
There's no question.
You know what? I think you put some capital in the bank with your future mother-in-law, and it'll pay off over time.
That's
a good call. I can help you with the HELOC on that. Pop a home equity line of credit out, get you all dressed up for
By the way, I've got a leisure suit from 1979 you are going to love.
I have to say, I don't mind this one. Plus, you'll wear it again.
I don't mind this one. Hey, it's perfect. I don't mind it.
The look when you come back in studio and Bridget's staring at you, it's not a welcoming moment.
You got a trickle of sweat going down the middle of your back?
That's not true.
All right. Happy wedding, and go put some other pants on or something.
Thank you.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Just about 1 hour ago, we gave away the final trip to Prague. Raquel Feldsinger of Chicago is going to Prague on Steve Cochran's European vacation.
That's pretty good.
As we will take a bunch of listeners, as a matter of fact, a whole plane load of listeners, to Prague to see the Hawks and the Flyers open the 2019-2020 season. Very exciting. Oh, by the way, the draft is tonight. And our own Chris Bowden is in Vancouver. Is he in Vancouver or is he here? Do we know? All right, so Chris is in Vancouver. In Vancouver, I believe the time difference is 9 hours, right? Isn't it Vancouver? Isn't it 1 o'clock in the morning there? No, it's about 2 hours difference. And so what is it? 7:40 in the morning? No, 6:40 in the morning. And we're having trouble connecting with Chris, but we're going to continue to make that effort. The Blackhawks draft coverage all day long here, by the way, is sponsored by the great folks at ChevyDriveChicago.com. You know, whenever I tool around in White Lightning,
Lightning.
Chevy Tahoe.
Wow.
I like to think about the fine folks at Mike Elstrom and everybody at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
White Lightning.
So, it's always creepy with you.
Bowen Byron, Alex Turcotte, Dylan Cozens, Trevor Zegras. I'm saying these names correctly.
Zegras,
thank
Cousins,
you.
Yep, that's all right.
These are some of the Blackhawks considerations.
The majority of people agree that Turcotte's the guy. Do you feel that way, Super Joe?
I do not. I think Bowen Byram is the guy, despite, you know, drafting defensemen in the first round the last couple of years. This is a guy who a lot of the draft analysts who know a lot more about hockey than I do are saying can be a number one defenseman. And the guys that they've drafted in previous years aren't necessarily in that same line. You know, they're offensive defensemen. They're guys that are going to play in the NHL, but they're not number one guys.
I would have agreed with that if not for the trade of Ali Mata. Ali Mata coming here as a defenseman, I think it changes that equation, but you could well be right.
Special Blackhawks show, by the way, tomorrow afternoon, 4 to 5:30, Harry Tynowitz and Chris Bowden will be recapping the draft, if you will.
Boy, I hope Bowden's up by then. You know, it's tomorrow at 4. So continue to try to effort him here for the next moment or so, because people love when I say effort. John, in the meantime, we have a bunch of stand-up comedy shows coming up. Tell people where.
We do. We start out way out west in St. Charles. Zany's Pheasant Run on Friday, August 23rd. That is me, you, and Mike Toomey from WGN-TV.
Toomey's very funny. You're very funny.
It's the best.
I'm the driver.
Right. Then we go north to the Metropolis in Arlington Heights on September 7th, Saturday. One show only. That'll be a lot of fun. Can't wait for that. And
that's you and me?
That's you and me, and to be announced, because we haven't figured that out yet.
But is Tim Benker in any of the shows?
Yes, I apologize. Tim will be doing the next one, which is the Beverly Arts Center. That is September 27th. It's a Friday. That's down in Beverly.
And that's going to feature Bridget Gaynor and her sisters.
Yes, yes.
Now, we haven't worked all this out yet, which I know shocks you if you know John and me. But I'm thinking maybe a game show involving the audience. And here's, tell me what you think of this. It's Family Feud, but it's only one family.
That's actually...
Right?
Yeah.
That could work.
And how many sisters does she have?
17? As far as you know, she has four.
I have four sisters.
Oh, we could do Family Feud. Yeah, but you'd have to leave the house.
What?
You don't leave your house.
Hey, if I, I'd be the, if hey, I could be the captain back? Of my sisters, that would be hilarious.
Do you have four sisters in town?
Well,
you
one's
got like
in
18
Canada.
Siblings.
One is over the border.
Would she come in for this?
I don't know.
I'm not paying for it. Because I knew that was the
Thanks
next question.
Lot. We could do a conference call with her. That's she's always on conference
Where
calls.
Where is she, in Toronto?
Yes.
Hmm.
She is in Toronto.
I have a memory.
Oh.
Tell her to see how much spirit might cost.
She's coming in for a wedding this weekend in Wisconsin. We all have to go to of my cousin's, my niece's wedding.
Well, so kick it around. Kick it around. See what's possible.
Hilarious.
Yeah. All right, I'll fly her in.
Gainers versus the VDVs.
It could be cool.
That would be funny.
Yeah.
That would be very
And if
funny.
It doesn't work, Bridget Gaynor's family ripped apart in Family Feud, one family. So keep that in mind as well. Anyway, it's going to be fun. And tickets for the Beverly Show again?
Beverly Art, that's September 27th, Friday. Beverly Arts Center, just go to their website. Same with the Metropolis Theater Arts. Metropolis Arts.
Are you having a medical incident right
now? A little bit, yeah. And then Zany's, just call their box office at 630-524-0001.
Wrapping up the Mark Carmen Fashion Show, I felt a little badly for you. That because I walk by the conference room, we have 47 conference rooms here at 303 East Wacker. One is adjacent to the green room. And in that conference room, it looks like a crime has been committed. There's dry cleaner paper everywhere as he's been ripping it off with his suits. Now you know what a super bottle feels like, having to change in 10 seconds.
Well, I'd like to apologize to upper management for creating that mess and not cleaning it up
yet.
But, you know, we got a show to do here. Mm-hmm. Time was of the essence. I'm trying to upload my Kobe White interview. A lot going on here, Steve.
Have you heard from Chelsea, your fiancée?
No, shockingly not.
Oh.
Did she have her own fashion show at home?
That could be a situation. She did say there is an update on the dress. Apparently, after being shamed on the show by somebody, she had said yes to the dress and then said no to the dress. She has now said yes to the dress again. The champagne was popped, and we do have an actual bottle of liquor at home because she has said yes to the dress, I think, officially now for real.
Well, that's great.
Woo-hoo.
Good for her.
That's awesome.
And I know she'll look beautiful.
She will absolutely look beautiful, Steve.
So there you go.
I think she might have made the wrong choice.
Oh, you are in such trouble.
God, you're a jerk.
Put duct tape on
Vince!
What's up? Good morning, boys.
You have a suggested outfit for Carms?
I do. I think he should wear one of his matching tennis outfits.
Oh, white shorts, white shirt.
And maybe a Cubs jersey and a hat.
I'm a White Sox guy, Vince.
Oh,
I like the idea.
Vince,
of the tennis.
I like the way you roll. Hold on. Give Vince something from the prize list and tell me what it is, and I'll do the plug. So thank you, Vince, for listening and for calling in.
Is that an old school tennis, Steve? You see, like, a, you know, the very short white shorts that McEnroe and Borg and Connors.
7-inch inseam, yeah.
Yeah. The, yeah. You know, when everybody watched tennis, that
probably wasn't
era.
Even that. Some of the 70s NBA shirts were like 5-inch inseams.
John Stockton back in the day, my God.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like tidy whities.
Yes. And all we can say as we go to break here is thank God Sandberg's no longer on this show. If she saw what you did to that room down the hall.
Oh, boy.
Her OCD brain would just explode.
She's definitely off today.
Yeah, she's in Vancouver.
She just heard about it.
She did?
She emailed us. She said, what fashion show?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Nothing but trouble.
Hey, at least he didn't have to accessorize like girls would have to. Then that's really a mess.
Well, you are talking about
purses Carm. And bracelets and all that. Oh.
Probably. Our friend Vince gets a pair of lawn tickets to Ravinia to see West Side Story with the score performed live by the CSO and then Dean Richards before the film for a pre-concert discussion. Tickets at Ravinia.org. Congratulations. Or he could also get general admission for two and two kids at Sycamore Speedway. Family owned since 1963. Plan your visit now to SycamoreSpeedway.com. Congratulations, Vince. Enjoy either. And both are sponsors of the show. We thank you for that. It's 8:50. We'll keep trying to reach Chris Bowden. And then if we can't, we'll fire him. Stand by for that. I told him someday you will be a man. And you will be the leader of a big old band. Many people coming from miles around. To hear you play your music when the sun go down. Maybe someday your name will be in lights. And Johnny, be good tonight. Go, 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 Johnny, go. 10 years ago, Jonathan Toews. Go, go, go. I believe he was number three. Who are we going to get at number three tonight? Let's go to Chris Bowden in Vancouver. Where were you 10 minutes ago?
I had no idea I was supposed to go on with you guys.
Oh.
It would have been nice and nice. So I'm gonna lob that missile right back.
Likely story.
Thank you, Chicago.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for getting up. I know it's early there. All right. So is there another Jonathan Toews out there? Is it Alex Turcotte?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think it's down to him personally. I think it's down to him. And Bowen Byram, the defenseman, yeah, it would mean a third straight year of having a blue liner picked in the first round by the Blackhawks. But this guy apparently is just at another complete game level than what the Blackhawks have gotten in Joakim Harju and Boqvist and Boudin over the course of the last couple of years. So I think the debate is down to Byron Bowen and Bowen Byram and Alex Turcotte, who's probably heard by now, kind of a local kid, grew up in Island Lake and the Elko Village area, and he draws the comparison to Jonathan Toews. So, complete game, has a little bit more nasty to his game, as a matter of fact, than Jonathan Toews. So after the two locks that go 1-2 in New Jersey and the Rangers, I think that the Blackhawks are picking between those two.
I thought it would be Brandon Byram until the Ali Mata trade. Does that change it for you?
Maybe not necessarily. I think Stan has some maneuverability here where if he does go this route and picks Byram, he may have the option to deal one of these other draft picks that he's had over the course of the last couple of years in order to strengthen other areas of the team. So I think that would kind of be his MO if he went that route. You know, whether it's a veteran defenseman or one of the younger kids, use that as a trade chip if, in fact, they do bring it by him.
Super Joe, Mark Carmen, jump in here with Chris Bowden.
Chris, when you look at this draft as far as the key to the Blackhawks being in the playoffs next year, where would you rank it? Because, I mean, you're not going to be none of these guys are going to come in and immediately contribute, correct?
Yeah, I think Alex Turcotte's committed to go to Wisconsin next year. That doesn't mean he necessarily would go if his arm is twisted enough. But you also don't know if he's completely ready. I think he's probably about a year away. There are some people who say the same thing about Byram. But if there is a third guy in this draft who can play right away, it could perhaps be him. Granted, he's 18 years old, but he's got a grown-up body. He actually played here in Vancouver for the Western League team. And I think it's not a slam dunk because surprises come along the way. But, in terms of immediate help for this year, it probably would be
Byram, and that's an interesting decision they have to face too, because they can't send him to the minors at 18. He would the AHL, the Rockford IceHogs. He would either have to come back here and play Western League hockey for a full season, or perhaps after a 9-game trial at the start of the season for the Blackhawks, or stay with the Blackhawks the entire year. At age 18, they're not allowed to send a player to Rockford in the AHL.
Because of Corey Crawford's injuries over the past couple of years, there's been a lot of talk about, well, why don't they draft a goalie? They've got a great young goalie, right, as a backup?
They've got a couple options, actually. Yeah, between Delia, who has looked good in small sample size. He slipped a little bit at the back end of his time up here last year, but then seemed to recover well in Rockford. Then another guy that they signed as a free agent about a year ago, Kevin Lankinen, who, like Delia, is 24 years old. And a lot of times these goalies, you know, you have to wait till they're 24, 25 before they're NHL ready. But he had himself a real impressive World Championship run. He led Finland to the gold medal in the World Championship. So he opened a lot of eyes. And they also have, you know, a kid that they drafted in the sixth round last year, still probably at least a couple of years away. You don't know if he's going to project and eventually make it here, because there's a lot of time, a lot of games to play. But Alexei Gravel was the guy that they picked in the sixth round. So in terms of future goaltending, they seem to be in pretty good hands if these guys continue to project as Corey goes into the last year of his contract.
Chris, when you talk to people around the league, do they believe this is a two-person superstar draft and there's a huge drop-off? What are you hearing as far as that with the Hawks picking third?
No, as a matter of fact, in terms of this year, yeah, that's what it is. But in terms of the overall depth and talent, a lot of people who watch these kids a lot closer than I think this is one of the deeper drafts around. Yeah, you're going to have to wait a little while, but I think there's a lot of confidence that most of these kids, and it's a huge American flavor. Every player on the U.S. national development team is rated in the top 100 of this draft. So I think long-term, I think this is going to be one of the stronger drafts around.
Superdrill, last word.
Chris, obviously there's a lot of focus on the draft here, but free agency starts basically right when the draft ends. Like, you can start negotiating, I think. Are the Blackhawks going to be big players, and who would you target if you were Stan Bowman?
Well, yeah, a lot of the big splashes are gone. They've re-signed with some of the teams. There's still a few out there. But, I've been saying this, you know, ever since the season ended, for all those Blackhawks fans targeting this guy or that guy, or Artemi Panarin to come back.
You need to get that? Is that room service, Chris? You need to answer that?
Yeah, I guess so. That's a new one. I wasn't expecting a call there either.
Right.
But I think that it'll be smaller sample size guys who, you know, may get paid in the $3 to $5 million range, guys who would provide depth. I'd be really surprised if there's a huge splash. But some of these other guys who can, you know, fill out the third and fourth lines and make the Blackhawks stronger from that standpoint, as well as from the blue line. I think that's probably more what you're going to see. Another local kid, Ryan Dzingel, he's a free agent. He could come back here. He was traded from Ottawa to Columbus last year. That's a potential name. I don't know how interested they may be in, but you think that would be a nice little fit if they're able to make that happen. And a couple of other lessoners, but again, I don't think you're going to get the big Marian Hossa signing that we had 10 years ago.
All right, so there you go, Chris Bowden, breaking it down a little bit for you. We got coverage all day long, and what are you guys doing tonight? I mean, are we on at a particular time for the draft?
Well, we have a White Sox game, so
after.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Rowan and I are going to try to get me on or not in the afternoon before the Sox game, and then I think our game plan is, as soon as the Blackhawks make that pick, the first break that the White Sox are in between half innings, we'll jump on and notify everyone who that pick is, if they don't know already. And then, hey, late night if they want to bug me too, we can talk a little bit more. Then we have the show from 4 to 5:30 here from Vancouver, and Anowitz and Scott King will be anchoring from the studio. So looking forward to that too.
All right, Chris, thanks for the call, and we appreciate it.
All right, I will get my room service. Thanks.
Yeah, come on, get on it.
It's got to be Bowman on the line, right? Didn't like what he said?
Yeah, he's
something.
Going, listen, Chris. We'll come back at the news in a second. The latest from CNN, Donald Trump called off the Iran strikes with 10 minutes to spare. Yikes. But the good news is, as you wake up on a Friday morning, or as you're doing whatever you're doing at 9 o'clock in the morning, we're not at war. I'd say that's a positive. 902, your news next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
Well, we've got a budding work scandal going on. And it involves you, Steve Grzanich.
Uh-huh.
Did you or did you not steal the cream cheese from John DeCosta's stash of bagels?
Did I steal the cream cheese?
What?
Any criminal would answer that question with a question.
There was cream cheese on the counter next to the bagels he brought in. Is that the cream cheese we're talking about?
Yes, but how did the cream cheese... The cream cheese has now left the bagel zone.
Oh, no, no, that was not me. That's not... I came and put cream cheese on my bagel in the bagel zone.
Is there any cream cheese in the newsroom right now or anywhere near you?
Let me look.
There's only
I threw it away when it was
cake.
Empty. Is that...
Oh,
is it missing because it's empty?
I'll wait for your apology now. So we threw it away when it was empty, as appropriately...
Well, Steve, I can't apologize to you for accusing you of a crime you didn't do. That wouldn't be right.
No, you should double down. That's what
double
you should
down,
do.
Double down, yes.
Double down.
I don't want to throw you under the bus here, Steve, and maybe I perhaps am wrong here, but...
No, you have extended evidence.
Yes. When John brought in... the bagels as he does.
And by the way, we should say, John DeCosta spent over $100,000 on bagels and donuts in the last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever it's been. All right, continue.
So I went out at 6:30 for the fresh bagels, always the best time to hit the bagel. And I really looked hard for the cream cheese in that bag, Steve.
You were jonesing?
I took the first bite, no cream cheese. It was a nice soft bagel, but I was like, you know what? I could use...
This needs something.
I needed a little bit of an up.
What could it be missing?
Right. Well, so the thing is, I didn't have my bagel. I didn't come out to get a bagel with cream cheese until 6:50. And there was cream cheese there when I got cream cheese.
How full was the cream cheese container when last seen?
It was maybe half full.
Half full. Yeah. And by the time, Joe, you saw it was empty?
Yep. I had the last scoop and then threw it away.
Michael Heidemann is not talking at this time. Michael, you're one for free food. Did you steal the cream cheese?
I did not steal the cream cheese, but when I went out there as well to get a bagel, there was cream cheese at the ready.
And how would you describe the container at that point? 3/4, 1/2, 1/4, how much was left?
I'd say there was 2 people who had gotten cream cheese when I had gotten into the cream cheese.
So it was barely dipped into.
I'd say a bit of the iceberg was missing.
Were there breadcrumbs in it?
I got to say, we saw other people from the newsroom come in here.
Can I get a timeline on when Heidemann made his bagel?
What's the time there? What's the time code on that?
My time was shortly after Carmen said, "Where is the cream cheese?" And then I craved a bagel because he was talking about bagels and cream cheese.
And you're saying that and you found the cream cheese right after that?
Shortly after, yes.
And was the cream cheese in the bagel area between the performance studio and the studio we're in?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was, in fact.
Well, what are you, blind? Why did you not see the cream cheese?
Are we taking the word, then, of somebody who's messed up the studio completely with his stuff this morning?
Are you saying that the cream cheese was in the bag, Michael Heidemann?
No, the cream cheese was not in the bag.
Where are you saying it was?
It was outside of the bag.
On the table?
On the table.
Steve, I'm telling you, there's something going on here. All I know is that I saw Steve Grzanich show up for his bagel, and he had the cream cheese in his hands. And I would like to get video evidence from somewhere. Maybe Bob Fukuduka can pull this from upper level video WGN to see if Grzanich is indeed telling the truth.
No, all right, now let me defend Steve.
Bagel area.
Let me defend Steve on this. I haven't had a bagel from John in a long time because I don't like John. But I also am a guy who would pick up the cream cheese container to knife the cream cheese out. I think that's a standard operating procedure for getting the cream cheese. You don't put your fingers in it.
Right.
You just pick up the container for leverage.
Yes.
So I don't see that as part of the crime.
Right.
But that Grzanich obviously committed.
And if I did pick it up, I set it back down on the counter near the bagel space.
Watching Mary right now, she looks very guilty. She's shaking her head.
You guys are ridiculous. What is the point of all this? Who's looking for the cream?
What's the point of all this?
Who wants the
stolen
cream cheese?
Cream cheese is what's making America not so great again.
Who's trying to make a bagel right now?
I was trying to make a bagel, and there was no cream cheese, Mary. Oh. Now, come on.
You should have been there at 6:50 like the rest of us.
I don't eat bagels anymore. I just eat the cream.
Cream cheese.
No, yogurt.
Did you hear what she said?
Yeah, no kidding.
I meant yogurt.
312.
A Freudian slip.
Hey, let's blame Ryan Burrow. It's his birthday today.
312.
Could have been Burrow.
Oh, it could have been Burrow.
But you know what's funny about Ryan Burrow? When there's free food, yeah. Ryan Burrow comes around the free food and goes, oh, look at this free food.
Like he's never seen
it. Like he's totally surprised. Bertrand does the same thing, Steve Bertrand. Oh, look at this free food. And then they get into it and they get after it.
You know what I think the real crime is? That after all these years, am I the only one who knows how to purchase a bagel?
Yes. Apparently that's the case.
I'm bringing bagels on Monday.
And by the way, you were criticized by the bagels you brought this morning by Bennett Wakenight, the producer of show, Steve Grzanich.
Right. You didn't have his kind?
That's right. And I think John will vouch for me when I say this, that almost every time I see him after he brings bagels, I thank him for bringing
Absolutely.
Bagels.
Yes, Steve does.
That is true.
That's a fact.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I did see Bennett with the cream cheese at one point as well.
That's what I'm talking about.
Not throwing anyone underneath the bus.
Well, another texter, 847 texter, says obviously it was David Hochberg.
Ah, yeah, and he left really quickly.
And as a client, you know, who's going to stop him? 847 texter as well. Donuts would simplify everything. You brought donuts in for a year.
Muffins
in for a year.
And a donut for a couple of times. But
and your accountant at tax time said, how much did you spend on donuts and muffins?
I think it was over 30 grand. I think we backed off.
414 texter says, Bagelgate.
the David Hochberg thing makes sense because he's not charging closing costs, so he can't afford cream cheese.
Good point.
That's probably
good
why he
point.
Took it.
773 texter, we almost went to war with Iran this morning, but you guys are talking about cream cheese.
We can only do what we can control thereby.
I appreciate someone realizing this show's on it. So, let's see. More texts are coming in at 312-981-7200. I want to welcome a new listener to this show from the 773. Started listening to you May 1st. It was my first day at my corporate desk job. Have listened every Monday through Friday, 6 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon. Best shows ever. Where have you guys been all my life? Well, WGN's new.
I'll tell them I'll bring them bagels.
And a fantastic lineup, so he or she says, and thank you for that. So there you go.
Oh, I love cream cheese. How about you? Put some cream cheese on a bagel or two. Add some lox or some chives. Would you have some cream cheese? Come on and sample it, please.
Stop just to show you how ridiculous it gets in the studio and how ridiculous John DeCosta. By the way, John is 60. I'm 58.
Yeah.
We should grow up at some point. I accused Bridget Gaynor of possibly stealing the cream cheese. You pointed out she's Irish, and then I concocted the story of the great Irish bagel famine, and you did a documentary.
I did, and we lost it.
Oh, me pappy told me about the cream cheese famine.
We didn't have the cream cheese. We spread gravel.
I wish the listeners found this show as amusing as we do.
Now that I know there's a cream cheese song, I'm going to have to sing that from now on.
That's right.
I didn't realize there was one.
Come on, please. As we continue, normally at this time, on a Friday, I'm out. I got nothing. And more than willing to admit it. So we play a game called You Must Pick One, where I give you three headlines and you have to pick one story for me to do. I'm just going to pick it for you.
Okay.
There's a guy named Rich Zelasko who was separated and getting divorced in 2013. He had a winning lottery ticket worth, I think it was $50 million. And his ex-wife-to-be was awarded $15 million of the money, even though they were separated on the verge of being divorced, and she had nothing to do with the ticket because they were still married. An arbitrator awarded her that kind of money. That's not the story.
Okay.
Nor is this. LaCroix might be illegal to sell in Massachusetts. There's a law in Massachusetts that says carbonated water sales, you got to get a permit and submit water quality tests to sell their product. Consumer Reports trying to figure out how LaCroix does LaCroix because their process is secret. They believe it to be the result of heating fruits and vegetables then making a concentrate out of the vapor. Nothing on file with the state of Massachusetts. If you have a LaCroix in Massachusetts, you could be thrown in jail. Consider yourself warned.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. Mm. And Hershey is giving one of their most famous candy bars. I don't know if this is true. It says famous candy bar in the story I'm about to tell you about. But the Take 5, I think, is an underrated candy bar.
I would agree with that.
The Take 5 is chocolate, caramel, peanuts, pretzels, and peanut butter.
Oh, they're so good.
Mm. They're really good. And you know,
not, salty yet sweet.
Every place doesn't sell them. Only 3% of U.S. households bought one last year. So anyway, Hershey's has decided that it was the label, and they have changed the label now to almost exactly match the orange and brown of the Reese's peanut butter cups, because everybody looks at that label in an effort to sell more Take Fives.
Wow. Yeah, because it was brown with...
kind of greenish.
Yeah, greenish, yeah. Or something, right?
Maybe,
yeah.
It's the name, Take Five.
Yeah, it's not a great name.
No.
Yeah. But here's the story. Those aren't the stories.
Wow.
Here's the story. You know, Ross and Lauren are about to have a little boy join Abigail Grace, world's greatest grandchild. And
WGG.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, they're not going to tell me what names they're considering, but I know one that's already taken, and I'm glad, and that is Marijuana Pepsi.
Oh, yes.
The woman who lives in Beloit, Wisconsin. She's got her doctorate in, I'm not sure what, but she's lived a very unusual life. She's 46 years old, and she grew up in Beloit in the 80s. And she said, it's not like my parents didn't have other options. Her older sister is Kimberly, and her younger sister is Robin. Kimberly, Marijuana Pepsi, Robin.
Wow.
You want to write middle children have issues?
Man, talk about name envy.
Her aunt,
yes,
her aunt's Myetta Jackson, and told the newspapers that were doing an interview effort with marijuana that she was born in 1972, Marijuana Pepsi was, the year that marijuana was prevalent everywhere, and after smoking, her parents would like to cool off with some sweet fizzy Pepsi.
What a great plan.
So the mother named her Marijuana Pepsi, even though the father was against it. Well, the marriage fell apart. She had a rather rough upbringing, but she made her way. And, you know, you can imagine in school, every time they went through school and they'd be doing a roll call.
Oh, yeah.
Marijuana. Everybody turning around looking at her.
Wouldn't you shorten that up?
Mary on it.
Mary,
no,
Jane.
Mary Jane.
Yeah.
She was married. Now she's remarried. She lives on a 3-acre hobby farm near the Illinois-Wisconsin border. She raises pigs and chickens with her husband, who owns a welding business. Together, they have 4 kids of their own, none of them named Marijuana or Pepsi. She says she has never tried marijuana, and she doesn't drink. She's not a big fan of soda either. And marijuana's full-time job involves helping underprivileged kids. She works as a director of a program at Beloit College that serves students who come from low-income backgrounds. She sounds like a pretty amazing lady, and she never backed away from her name, even though it made everything tougher, because it made her stronger as a person, and that was the name she was given.
Her husband, Meth Fresca, does he
Meth Fresca?
Does he have anything to say about this?
He doesn't understand what the problem is.
Right.
It's 9:32. We'll come back with the headlines next at 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Nothing new to report to you since the news, which ended seconds ago, on what happened overnight, potential retaliation against Iran of the alleged ship attacks that they made last week in the Gulf. We'll see where it develops today. It wouldn't be Friday unless there was news.
Wow.
Remember when Fridays used to be a kickback day?
Yep.
Yeah, not anymore.
For journalists, Friday has never been a kickback day. We always used to call Fridays the dump, Friday dump, because usually right around 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, we are done. Everything is dumped. Government agencies dumped records and press releases. And
were you working that shift?
I used to work, yeah. I was like 2 to 10. That was the worst shift ever.
Yeah, Friday afternoons.
Friday afternoons.
Yeah, it's like John and I have talked about this from a stand-up perspective. The worst show is the second show on a Saturday night, I always thought. And some clubs will do a third show on a Saturday night. The second show on a Saturday night, people are just trying to, the guys are just trying to get home and have sex. And the women are trying to avoid going home with a guy to have sex.
Right.
And the third show, it's gang members, it's fights, yeah. It's drunks, it's just no good at all. There's always a time, like the worst time at work for something.
Yep.
It's Friday afternoon in the newsroom. It's the late show Saturday night in the stand-up club. Carm, what's the worst day to work sports?
That's a good question, Steve. Probably after a Bears loss, Hampton OB is a tough one. Actually, it's a lot of fun. That's not a good answer. I'll have to think about this.
Hampton OB will be back.
Damn straight.
We fixed that deal up months ago. And you will still be in the host chair?
As far as I know, Steve. I have a seatbelt. I won't allow myself to get taken out of that chair. I'm looking forward to it. Bears are going to win the Super Bowl.
The MLB All-Star break's pretty bad.
That's a tough time.
That's like just super quiet. Yeah. You know, Home Run Derby's fun, and the game, you know, eh.
You know, it's
and
funny,
then you just
Super
got a
Joe,
few days off that where nothing is happening.
Super Joe, you missed out on, and John will back me up on this. In the 70s, when dinosaurs roamed the earth, the All-Star Game was the coolest thing all summer.
It was. Big thing.
Because you waited for it. You didn't see the other league. You didn't see the stars that you heard about. And then you got to see them at the All-Star Game. So that was phenomenal. Now the All-Star Game, I forget it's on.
Yeah. It doesn't have the same attraction as it used to.
Lucas Giolito still going to get a pick, or does that start the other night hurt him?
He got him. So he's already got his penthouse in Cleveland, Steve. He's going. No worries.
You agree, Super Joe?
Absolutely. Yeah, but 10 wins. First one to 10 wins. I mean,
May not start,
but I think the invitation alone is warrant enough for just how far he's come since last year.
Yeah, no kidding. From worst to first.
He could start, by the way the schedule lines up. Part of it has to do with who was rested and can actually go on that Tuesday. And Giolito, if things go the way they are right now and things, it doesn't get moved around, he could start that Tuesday.
When is the All-Star game?
That is June the... July the 10th? Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It's a Tuesday in July, Steve.
So he's still got
that week.
He's got two or three more starts then.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, well, then he's just got to get back on the horse. Yeah. Come on, Lucas G. That's what I call him. I call him Lucas G. What's up, Lucas G?
July 9th, Steve. I missed it by a day. My bad.
And odds and ends, as we're cleaning up the place for a Friday, you can see Carm's pictures of Carm in four different suits as we tried very reasonably and seriously with nothing but love to help Carm pick out the suit he would wear at his wedding. These are all custom suits, and Bridget Gaynor was in here as well. She was helping us pick them. Mary Vandeveld wasn't even judgmental at all. You know how Mary's open-minded about things.
What?
There's a picture of Gaynor with a thumbs down. It's very...
So you go to WGNRadio.com or the WGN Radio app, or WGNRadio.com/Cochran. You can get it all there. We're also going to put it up at Twitter at Cochran Show, where you should follow me. Steve Cochran Show on Facebook and Instagram. It's going up there now.
So, Cochran, your job this week, or not Cochran, I'm sorry, Carmen.
That's me.
Your job would be to find out what color the bridesmaid dresses are when you do that. That's extremely important in your suit pick.
Mary Vandeveld, Marcia, is it odd that he doesn't know that four months out?
Yeah, it's pretty odd.
That's a big talk. You know, it's very stressful. Because the bridesmaids are all disagreeing and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the bride's trying to decide. So, yeah, he should know that by now.
Clearly, I have nothing to do with that. And that's Chelsea's fault.
No. Why don't you just ask?
Maybe Chelsea knows and doesn't want to tell you. Maybe you're not invited to the wedding.
It's possible at this point.
Well, she's trying to help with the suit pick. I mean, she wants you guys to look good together, right?
Yes, she does, Mary.
I think she might not have decided yet. It might be.
I like
Bridget.
Listen, I like Bridget's idea that you involve Chelsea's mom and you score a little son-in-law points.
I agree. Totally agree.
Yes.
Totally agree. You know, because you don't. I don't know if you want to go with the Catholic schoolgirl skirt. Sport coat.
That's not a good look for you.
No. I probably should listen to you guys on this one. Let's get the mom involved and let's all be on the same team.
Does her mom like you?
I think she moderately finds me tolerable.
Oh, is her dad involved too?
God, you couldn't sell that any better.
The dad's involved as well, sure.
And does he like you?
I mean,
no dad likes the dude that's marrying his daughter.
I don't think anyone in the family is particularly wild about me, Steve, but I also...
You know, your family or their family?
Both.
Okay.
Both. But, I mean, I got a shot to not, you know, to...
I didn't ask you this. Chelsea got brothers?
She's got one brother. She has a twin brother.
Older, younger? I'm kidding. See, it's a twin. See what I did there? Yeah.
He's older by about 7 minutes.
And does he like you?
I get a weird vibe from him, Steve. I don't think so.
Do you play tennis with him?
Haven't played tennis
with him. Are they identical? Are they
identical?
Maybe
you should start.
I came back from work the other day.
No, one's a girl.
Yeah.
That was a legitimate question from John DeCuss. If they're identical, I got a feeling Carmen knows more than we do.
Yeah.
And if they're identical, he's got some splaining to do.
Yeah, fraternal, John.
No, but do they look exactly...
Stop.
Not naked. four passes to the 12th annual Blackhawks convention. How about I give them to you right now? July 26th to the 28th, I will be there, you will be there, we will be there. That's the way it works at the Hilton Chicago, with current players and alumni and autograph sessions and photo sessions and Q&A panels, exhibits, interactive games, and more. Oh, and we're talking about a couple special shows to be done from there as well. Blackhawks.com to purchase your passes today. But, Super Joe?
Yep.
Caller what?
Number three for the pick tonight.
Caller number three lines up with the pick tonight. Third caller wants these and can go. You're in. 312-981-7200. Steve.
It's Ryan, actually.
I'm sorry, Ryan Burrow. How are you?
No problem.
Did you have a free bagel today?
I did not. I looked and everything looked empty. So
it's his birthday.
Yeah, I got a 20 for you because I got nothing else.
I'll take it.
The Steve Cochran Show is about to wrap up for the week, and it's probably a good thing. I don't think we should do any more. I think we've done enough. And today's show, 1400, I think was special. Special in a lot of ways.
I'll always remember it, Steve.
I'll always remember you this way. tonight, the Rolling Stones at Soldier Field, but this is weird. I just got a text from somebody, and I thought they were crazy. Hugh Jackman is at the United Center tonight, and he's not there watching a show. He's actually on stage. He's the ticket. Academy Award nominated, Golden Globe and Tony Award winner, Hugh Jackman is on his first world tour. Hugh Jackman, the man, the music, the show. Jackman will be performing hit songs from The Greatest Showman, Les Miserables, and more Broadway and film stuff, accompanied by a live orchestra. At the United Center? Doesn't that sound like a theater show?
Yeah, it doesn't fit.
He's quite the singer. I mean,
oh, he's a great talent.
Yeah.
He's phenomenally talented.
He is the showman. So this will be interesting. There's a lot going on tonight.
At the United Center.
Did he sell it out? Yeah, Tony Bennett's at Ravinia, too.
Does he know?
How do you hold a microphone with that metal claw?
That's actually a movie, John. And he doesn't have a twin?
Well.
You sure it's not Wolverine on Ice?
Now that, I'd pay to see. No, I'm sure it's going to be a great show.
Ben Vereen and Wolverine together, one night only.
Sponsored by Listerine?
Yes. Yes.
Are you back Monday, or is that back?
I am back Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, Steve.
All right, so we got a lot to do next week.
It's not over yet.
Okay. And Marcia, thank you for this week.
Oh,
be
not
back
a
soon.
Problem. Much fun. Thanks, John.
And John, thank you for being here as always.
Hey, I'm identical to me.
Bring more cream cheese next time. Will
I know,
you?
Tell
for
me
Carmen.
About it.
I don't know if you heard the exchange, issue. Bill.
What happened?
Carmen's Grzanich stole question. The cream cheese.
Oh, here
he
we
did?
Go.
Did
not.
Mark Carmen's fiance.
Did not. Wendy wasn't even here.
I listened.
Mark Carmen's fiance, Chelsea.
Yes.
Is a twin.
Yeah.
What's the brother's name?
Blake.
And her brother Blake, and yeah. John said, with all sincerity, are they identical? And I said, not naked.
Steve, without a beat. Well, one's a girl.
You're adorable.
So quick.
There's been a couple incidents this morning where we believe John has gone into some sort of toxic shock with a medical incident. How are you guys?
Good.
Bill and Wendy?
We're doing fine.
Good talk.
Thanks, Beef.
That's all you got is we're doing fine.
Well,
what are you doing this weekend?
I don't know yet.
How about you?
Nothing special. It's all depending on the weather, Steve. If the weather's nice, we play outside. If the weather's not nice, we play inside.
I've got an old man golf tournament this weekend.
Oh, you do?
Senior club championship at White Eagle.
Good luck with this.
I remember when I thought, I'll never be old enough to be in the senior club championship.
And then?
I'm that plus three now.
Yeah. That's how it happens.
So, but I'm pretty psyched, as you can tell.
Yeah, you
I feel like I'm really right. on my game.
Very confident
tell
about
your face
this.
That.
What are you doing today?
We're going to talk to Marcella Raymond. She
oh, yeah.
is suffering from
interesting
PTSD.
Story.
It is. Covering all these reporting stories for all these years and feeling it and living it, she is suffering from PTSD, and I'm sure she's not alone. So we'll talk to her, and we'll talk to Professor Tom Mikaitis about this whole Iran thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and whatever updates are coming. Just know that we're cocked and loaded. That was one of the president's texts this morning.
I thought it was cocked, locked, and ready to rock.
He would have done that, but he can't spell rock. We'll come back on Monday. See you then.